Don and Mike Building. 3 FM, 106.7 WJFK.
Manassas, Washington, D.C.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For a complete contest rule, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show. 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia. 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Say it, John.
What do you think they were looking at that they made him take his pants off?
I don't know.
I like that.
I don't know, Big John.
Big John.
Or is that Frank?
Ooh.
What do you think they were looking at that they made him take his pants off?
Go, go, Steelers. Rock and roll to the Super Bowl. Yeah.
What do you think they were looking at that they made him take his pants off?
Are a winning team. When they hit the foot of the bell, they don't run out.
Renelvis, he had it right all along.
Pull his pants down and tape up his groin.
Wow.
What do you think they were looking at that they made him take his pants off?
Pull his pants down and tape up his groin.
Welcome to our post-Super Game show.
Uh-huh. Isn't this wonderful?
Can we say Super Bowl now without threat of legal action?
I'd be careful.
Super Game, close enough.
That works.
What do you think they were looking at that they made him take his pants off?
Our official...
No, I won't say it.
Yeah. Pull his pants down and tape up his groin.
What do you think they were looking at that they made him take his pants off?
Pull his pants down and tape up his groin.
This is Robert DeMille.
Interested in that.
It was his groin, right, Muppet?
Pull his pants down and tape up his groin.
Yes, there she is, the Muppet. Mm-hmm. Susie Calder.
Not to be confused with the other lady on the sidelines, Michelle...
Michelle Tafoya.
Tafoya, who...
she's...
still manages to look stunning.
She enjoys a meal.
Yes. Yeah, I was just tremendously unimpressed with her.
Tafoya might benefit from lower resolution.
Not on in high def.
What's all this talk about how the sideline reporters have to have knowledge? I would much rather just have, you know, let's bring back Melissa Stark. You know what she was? She was like a 10-second diversion.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we have ring girls do it?
Here's what would come out of...
They have a boxing match? Like,
yeah, right. Here's what would come out of Melissa Stark's mouth. They would go, let's go down to Melissa now. And it would be like...
Yeah, nobody'd be listening to it because you're just staring at it, right?
And translated to guys listening, that would be, look at me, look how hot I am. Look at this, I've got two buttons unbuttoned. Oh, it's raining down my blouse. Let me thrust my chest out. Back to you, Alan John.
I agree.
Instead, we got to get either like the Muppet,
right.
Susie Calder,
right.
Who just, I would not be surprised if it wasn't the crying game going on down there.
Right.
She's got so
very masculine.
She's got so much testosterone.
Right.
Then you've got the other one, Michelle Tafoya.
Who was wearing what appeared to be an outfit from 1977.
Yes. And she is goddamn determined to show you that she's a woman who can make it in a man's
exactly.
world. And she goes so far is that I'm sure that she even abstained from makeup.
Right.
For the Super Bowl yesterday, to show that she could make it in a man's world.
I think you have, on one sideline, you have someone like Carmen Electra. And then on the other sideline, you have somebody like Brooke Burke.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they really know nothing about football.
Doesn't
and when they go to, almost, so it's comical. But then, you know, you got something to look at.
Right. It's comical and it's sexual.
Yeah.
Very.
Like this joke.
Because, I mean, right now, we're talking about the Super Bowl yesterday. This was the biggest sexual moment.
What do you think they were looking at that they made him take his pants off?
That was it. There's no Janet Jackson moment.
As good as it got.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up, boys?
Hey, hi.
Matt Hasselbeck's mommy is a hottie POA.
I didn't catch Ma Hasselbeck in the stands.
No, she was on a pregame show about 2 hours before the game. They showed him and his whole family. Damn, dude, she's hot. I thought it was his wife because they started talking to her, and I'm like, damn, he's got a good-looking wife. And it's his mama.
What if she has that problem that her son has, that choking problem?
She's not bald.
She's not bald. How do you know? Maybe she's wearing a wig.
I would disagree. I would disagree. She has two sons playing in the NFL. She's been bald. She's bald.
Pull his pants down and tape up his groin.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye.
Good luck. And I never will hear, is it Susie Culver? Is that the correct pronunciation of her name?
Or Susie Culver?
Culver. I'll never hear her without thinking of Joe Namath. Ever. Ever. No. Never again.
You're right. And how about him when he comes out for the, you know, they had the 40 Super Bowl MVPs.
I love that. That was one of my favorite parts of the day.
So Joe Namath comes out chewing gum.
Yeah.
And when he gets to the sideline, I thought this was a cool move. I know a lot of people thought he looked like an uber moron.
Right.
He opens up his sport coat, and inside on the lining, it says JETS.
He's got Jets lining. It was great.
On the inside of his jacket, and he just had the biggest Dumb and Dumber Rube smile.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
And then there was my man, Bart Starr, okay, who was...
Representing 2 years.
The MVP of Super Bowl 1 and 2.
Right.
They might as well have used Grandpa Al Lewis, because really, they had him come out, he didn't say a word,
no.
And at the very end, when they were giving the trophy to the Steelers, they said, and now, here he is, Super Bowl 1 and 2 MVP. And, they, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm going, this, okay, this is my man, my boyhood hero here.
Sure.
And he comes up on stage, and the first thing to do is just take the trophy from him, and it's like, okay, that's it. Thank you. Go back to your casket now.
You wanted some words from the great Bart Starr?
Thought we could have had, thought we should have had.
Yeah.
Oh, and Mike, I know you're wondering. Yes, we do have a mini tribute up on our webpage to the late Al Lewis.
Oh, good.
DonandMikeWebsite.com, right on the front page. We have a picture of Grandpa Al Lewis.
Who one time uttered the touching words when we were at an autograph signing with him.
No salutations. We used to have that guy on the show, back on our old morning show. I don't know, 4 or 5 times a year.
Yes.
Always a pisser.
You never would have put him in a cowboy hat, would you?
No.
And he showed up at this autograph signing with a cowboy hat and a big belt buckle in the foulest mood of any human being I've ever seen.
To me, he was an inspiration. in doing a personal appearance, and I know what it was. It was like the opening of a Blockbuster.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a lineup that'll make you line up out the door, you know, when you've got Don, Mike, and Al Lewis.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, they did. The people did line up out the door.
Well, it was
because darn it, VHS and Betamax were hot.
Absolutely.
There were stores where you could actually go and buy gigantic movies and watch them at home, and there we were with Grandpa from the Munsters.
Renting movies.
And as uncomfortable as you and I were with the entire proposition, he hated it even more.
He did. I'm
sure. He was making 10 times the money we were making.
Sure.
He was the reason all the people were showing up.
Sure.
And he just would look down and sign his name and not make eye contact. Oh. And some
people, you know, every third or fourth person would say, can you make that out to my cousin Charlie? No salutations.
A sweet man.
He will
be missed.
He knew that word because he said that a lot. It was simply...
But we dug that about him.
It was best... Al Lewis.
We dug that about that.
And as far as somebody signing an autograph for you, wouldn't that be the minimum if you're going to say anything? You know, if you're not just going to write your name, best would be
be better just writing your name,
right.
I would think.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I always like yours in Christ.
Yes.
That's always worked out for me.
It has worked for you.
Hello, Don and Mike. John 3:16. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
How about one missing Joe Montana during the ceremony?
Yeah, you know, there was two or three guys that were not there.
They did it so well that I didn't miss that. I mean, I really did. So this should have been in there.
Aware of I was consciously aware that they weren't there. And they did a bunch of skipping where, like they said, and now to the 70s.
Yes.
And they were
okay. All right. That's the way it works. So Joe Montana, I wonder why he stiffed him.
Well, he demanded $100,000 up front.
You know, I read that online today.
Really?
I read that online today, and here's the thing that I don't know if it's true or not. On one hand, you got to think, well, it's Joe Montana. You know, it's the history.
Right.
But on the other hand, remember, he is doing those commercials I've seen on TV where he's got the football attached to a bungee.
Right.
And he throws it, and it bounces, and it's like, hey, kids, oh, you want to learn how to play football? I mean, no, this is like the cheesiest commercial.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm sure he's
cheesiest ever.
That sucks.
And he works for the drug company. He does that blood pressure med. And he was in Detroit for the whole week, and then he blew it up on Sunday.
Hmm.
And
so he wanted $100,000, and I assume none of them got paid any money, right?
They got two tickets to the game, and then they got two tickets.
Thank you, my friend.
You're not canceled in Sacramento this afternoon for the
time. Great, thank you. Bye-bye.
Good to know.
The other guy that I was thinking should have been there, and I'm pretty sure he was the MVP of at least one or maybe more of the Steelers Super Bowls, was the blonde bomber.
Yeah, I thought he should have been.
Jerry Bradshaw was not there as well.
Maybe a network thing.
He was not there.
Network loyalty.
And Jerry Rice, I guess, thought he was still on Dancing with the Stars.
What was that outfit?
But he came out like in his Huggy Bear star skin. Like, hey,
what's that, ma'am?
What's happening?
Strange outfit. Very, very strange.
And then they bring out, I'm going way back in the day, like right in the Bart Starr era, when they brought out that guy, Chuck Howley.
Chuck Howley looked to be the most feebed of all of them.
Constipated. Angry.
Not appearing to enjoy his moment in the spotlight.
And I'm guessing not a fan of hip-hop music. Chuck Howley.
He looked angry. He really, really looked angry.
I like that.
And Larry Zonka looked buzzed. I thought Zonka looked like he might have been lit. You know, in all those guys, there's a lot of booze.
Yeah.
A lot of booze in some of those guys.
I want to kiss you. I want to kiss you. That's what I kept thinking with Joe Namath. Wouldn't it be great? Oh, my God. What if he went and got the Muppet?
Yeah.
What if he went and found the Muppet?
Walks out with Susie Colbert.
Forced himself on her again.
Pull his pants down and tape up his groin.
There she is.
I said Joe Namath had to do.
She always appears to be windblown.
What do you think they were looking at that they made him take his pants off?
I do not know.
But, of course, the big game was what the big game always is. A bit of a letdown. There have been a couple good ones over the years, but that wasn't bad till
Hasselbeck really went retarded. And
that's how John Madden described it also.
And maybe, I don't want to piss off Steelers fans. Come on. We all know that was not a touchdown.
Yeah.
I know it was a touchdown.
And it was an offensive pass interference either.
Yeah.
When the Seahawks scored the touchdown. In the NHL, I was saying to somebody, in the NHL, the referees in the NHL, during the playoffs, that's when they basically don't even show up.
Well,
they just let them play, and I wish they do that more in the NFL.
That's what they say there, too. But, but the thing is, well, Buzz, what's your take on this?
Well,
on the Roethlisberger touchdown.
I thought it was timely.
See, you want to ask Buzz what he did yesterday? Do you know?
What did he do during the big game?
Why don't you tell them, Buzz?
I did my taxes yesterday.
Oh, that's exciting.
FOMO. 7.5 hours.
Way to celebrate the... Did you deduct that shirt?
No, that'll be on this year's taxes, actually.
Oh. No, Buzz didn't watch the Super Bowl.
No.
Taxes XL.
Well, you missed it, Buzz. There was a bunch of crazy, kooky things that were happening. The game...
I truly hate NFL referees.
Anyway, here's the deal. This guy, Roethlisberger, the quarterback for Pittsburgh, Buzz, he dives down for the touchdown.
Right.
They got that whole thing where you've got to cross the plane of the goal.
Right.
The imaginary line that goes up to the North Pole and the equator.
I understand. Okay?
Anyway, you see on the replay, the ball never breaks the plane.
Mm.
It never breaks the plane. The officials go to break. They review it.
And Tom Gavin says, officials go to break.
They come back, and I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be a momentum switch.
Right.
But goddamn right, it was a momentum switch because the guy says...
Touchdown
Steelers.
Yeah. I mean, it really, it was a tough day for
well,
if you were
right.
A Seattle fan, it was a very, very tough day.
I would think. Oh, but listen, the Steelers kicked their ass, and Hines Ward is a good player, and
I think really it came down. I mean, I hate to sound like sports radio, but the receivers for Pittsburgh did a better job than the receivers for Seattle.
I did get a little sick of the Jerome Bettis stuff. Okay, goodbye.
There goes the bus.
That's kind of how I feel now. Goodbye. Please, goodbye.
You went out on top.
Mm-hmm. That's great. How'd you like to be underneath them? Can you imagine that?
I have a question.
Yes.
How come, I mean, I understand with the Super Bowl, you know, you have two teams and usually it's pretty evenly divided. How does it happen that Pittsburgh has the access to so many tickets?
300 miles away.
That's it's proximity first.
Steelers got many more fans across the country than...
There you go. You've answered both. Okay.
Seattle does.
Simple answer, but I mean, that's true because it was really... Amazing. How many Steelers fans were there?
You said you had enough of Bettis. Could you have wanted any more black and white gay pictures of them posing with the trophy, though?
Oh, I hated that.
You know what? That approached gay men's porn.
Yes.
It really did.
In some of the scenes where some of the athletes had on, like, their Under Armour stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they had their exposed biceps. And
did you see the one where Mike Holmgren was squatting over the trophy?
Yeah, but you couldn't see the trophy?
That's right. I did.
Well, you could see the base of it. Just a bit.
You see the one, Cowher's wife getting the whole thing in her mouth? Cowher's wife with the new and improved Joker product?
I mean,
the whole family.
Right.
Got, and they're all girls, those four girls, they all got his mouth.
Yeah.
They all got that gigantic, Julia Roberts laughs at that now.
Where the jaw juts out. I call it a pelican mouth. Even when he's smiling, it's more like.
And I felt bad for Holmgren, you know. Poor fat Holmgren. You know, the thing is, if you win...
Power sweep Holmgren.
If you win...
I'm so bitter.
If you win and you're a big fat guy, they say you're a player's coach and you're one of the guys.
Right.
You know, when it comes down to 3 minutes left and you're getting your ass kicked, and you look at Holmgren on the sidelines, and you know, first off, someone should tell him, when you're really, really fat and you're going to be inside, a sweater vest really accents your mitts.
Oh, absolutely.
What you want to do
it is... It accents your whole, all of your fat.
I'm not advocating that he go the Belichick route. I'm not advocating that he go, like, semi-homeless guy, that you get an old sweatshirt.
No, wear the nylon shell pullover. As a fat man, I wear that. It's go-to. Better than a sweater because it doesn't cling.
You know, it just, you get to a point of the game, they're losing, you look on the sidelines, there's Cowher with his goddamn jaw out looking young and athletic. Meanwhile, on the other side, it looks like Kirstie Alley got a haircut. You know, over there, just all mad. I feel conflicted because I really don't care. But on the other hand, I feel bad for Pittsburgh. I mean, Seattle. Then I feel good for Pittsburgh. And the commercials, I thought, just sucked.
Worst ever. Blew
dead bear.
Worst ever. Because really, now that the standard has been raised, now that the bar has been set so high, we do wait. Everybody waits for the commercials to come on to see what they're going to be. And they were, you know, a complete letdown. And the worst of worst were those Jay Moore,
yes,
Diet Pepsi suck fests.
Not funny.
Which they obviously spent a lot of money on getting that airtime, but they could not suck enough.
Nope, they were all, I mean, the only one that even made me chuckle, and it's just because I'm a moron, again, was the monkey one.
Chimps equal funny.
I like a monkey lighting a cigar with a $20 bill, yeah, and monkeys on the telephone and monkeys knocking over computers.
I have always thought that you and I should consider ourselves lucky, and we should be proud that you and I, at one time in our careers, worked with a chimp.
At least once.
I'm delighted with that. Of course, it was
Are you talking about besides the producer?
No, I'm talking about Dina.
Oh, the one from the one that loved you.
Film House.
The one that literally at the end of the 8-hour shooting day, with this monkey's fingers around my neck, I had a welt on my Adam's apple. Because every time I would say, your chance to win $10,000, the chimp would grab my throat. And Don almost walked out on the shoot because the trainer was so nasty,
so mean
to the chimp.
Like, he had like an electronic stick of some
it
sort.
It was nasty.
Cavalbron.
You would hear like, rah! Goddamn monkeys.
Goddamn
monkeys.
That's what the chimp did when they served lunch.
Hi, Dana.
All right, well, I guess that covers our Our Super Bowl.
Super.
Except I do have some stuff to tell you about, like maybe who I watched it with.
Oh, really?
Why? Yes. And maybe some circumstances. I mean, nothing big, nothing major.
Wow. No, I didn't know you wanted to talk about that.
Well, no, it's
there's a little Jay Leno there, right there.
Yeah. Rob Lowe was on the show. Rob, yeah. Fantastic, yeah. Courtney Love. Yes.
Yes, Mike. I will like to talk about that later, though.
Very good.
Just passing. Just to let you know what's happening.
I hated the game.
With me. In my life. I hated the game as well.
I really did. I thought it was a suck fest. Had potential to be a great football game.
No, I didn't hate it.
TPQ.
It was okay.
The panicky quarterback.
It was all right.
So the game was let down. The commercials were mediocre at best. I'm glad I did my taxes.
Mm-hmm. Buzz, you know, you missed
I like the Stones.
That's all I'll say. You missed this.
What do you think they were looking at that they made him take his pants off?
Yeah. And they made the Rolling Stones change the words to their songs.
Yeah.
Don't remind me of the Ed Sullivan Show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on. Start me up.
You make a dead man. Hi, everybody.
Hi, how are you? Welcome to the Halftime Show.
Thanks for coming out.
Halftime Show!
Come on down. You make a dead man. I mean, it's okay to sing it and play it on the radio 8,000 freaking times.
Apparently. And I watch the Rolling Stones like people would go to see the pandas at the National Zoo. I consider them oddities.
To watch them throw feces at themselves in the wall.
I look at them as a curiosity.
You got to buy a ticket.
I like the music. It's fine. But I look at them as a curiosity just to see Charlie Watts moving is, to me, an interesting thing. And then you look at Mick Jagger, who has like a 70-year-old man's head with a 10-year-old girl's body. Very, very strange.
That is weird.
And then you look at Keith Richards, and Keith is just, you don't know what's keeping him going either. And I love it. I love watching the Rolling Stones.
That's been awesome!
I told Mike I was watching Regis today. And here's what Regis says. He says he's watching the Super Bowl. He's trying to tell Kelly Ripa about it. And he says, the Stones were great. And he says, who's the main Stone?
Oh, God, that is old man to say it like that.
The main
Stone.
He doesn't know?
No, he didn't. He couldn't remember.
Wow.
Couldn't remember the name. All right, so we've got to get to the... Oh, we have major stuff to tell you about the poker tournament that we had.
Oh, yes.
That turned into the blackjack tournament. Let me just say that whenever we get to this on the show today, it'll be pretty quick to the upfront part. It may get ugly for some people.
Why would that be?
Your tone says it all, Mike.
Okay. Well, I mean, it was my whole weekend. I mean, really, not that anybody really cares, but, just call me Lucky.
Okay, Lucky.
My luck fest.
My Lucky.
My weekend sucked luck fest.
Okay.
Sucked. Game sucked. Commercials sucked. Hasselbeck sucks. Referees suck. Holmgren sucks.
You have a good time?
Tight end for Seattle.
You have a good time at poker?
Slippery Fingers McDoof.
Did you have a good... Mike lost some money on Seattle. Mike bet on Seattle.
I told somebody this. I said, I have that rap for, getting a little angry and leaving, and I kind of... I think really in previous poker matches, I've maybe tweaked that up a little bit, kind of had fun with it.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't faking anything on Saturday.
No. All right, well, hold on. My gosh. Let me just promote this fast, and then we'll start the show here. Wednesday, it's the Grammys, and we'd like to do something on the show called The Grannies. On Wednesday.
Oh, I like it.
Now, here's what we need. If you can do this, great. If not, we'll do something else. Email us at DonnaMikeWebsite.com. We'll play for $1,000. If you would like to bring your grandma down to our broadcast headquarters to participate in these tasks, in these individual tasks, they will include such as how many sit-ups can your grandma do in 30 seconds?
Okay.
Wow.
Without giving everything away, we'll give your grandma a piece of paper. How many different euphemisms can you come up with for the word intercourse?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to read them on the radio, of course. We can just tell you the initials and and all kinds of stuff like that. Now, here's the only thing, because I know that we have young grandmothers out there.
Very young.
Young, fit grandmothers out there.
Yeah, we are very close to the West Virginia border where our studios are.
Yeah, I mean,
you can have, the sit-ups,
I think. Babies having babies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this has to be grannies over 70.
Over 70? Wow. Real good. That's a good age.
And the physical challenges will not be that challenging.
Mm-hmm.
The intimate stuff will be handled in our own, you know, Mike.
Tasteful.
Listen, no one is gentler with a woman over the age of 70
mm-hmm.
than Mike and myself.
We know how to treat elderly women.
Yeah. Nobody.
We treat my lady nice.
Nobody rubs an old broad's feet
mm-hmm.
like me and I. Mike and me. Mike and I.
We get right between the toes.
Mike and me. It's Mike and me because of, you know, I didn't say Mike. I would say like me.
Right.
See, there's something you learn back in school.
Mm-hmm. Our sensitivity with elderly women is so wonderful that we would even bite off the bunions. I'm serious, Rob.
She stands alone.
Well, see, that's why I'm
a wood. Hold on. Mike bites. I'll bite. Mike will eat.
Right. That's the difference.
I will not eat.
Well, it makes them feel special when you eat.
I will bite.
It's a compliment. They become a part of you.
So we really only need, at minimum, two grandmas. I promise, nothing degrading.
We won't hurt them.
Your grandma's not going to have to play strip trivia. She's not. There'd be no peanut butter, no dogs, no nothing.
Yeah, those were the good old days.
If you would like, though, a chance to win $1,000, mm-hmm. email us at donandmikewebsite.com. Send John an email, and then we'll go through the next couple of days and see if people are serious about getting a couple of grannies down here. Or maybe even more. For $1,000.
Wow. Wouldn't the ideal be a whole, like, room full of them?
Oh, my God.
Oh, that would be heaven. Can you smell the rose perfume?
Ooh, boy, I smell more than that. I smell love. I smell Bengay.
Yeah.
I smell oil of Olay.
Oh, hello.
And I smell...
Too early in the week for this. You're
Johnson's baby crazy. Oil.
Mm.
Oh. And his talcum powder?
Right, right.
Uh-huh.
As the attempt is made to make things supple that aren't supple anymore.
Can I just tell you something? There's nothing sweeter than taking a 70-year-old woman... First off, undressing a 70-year-old woman. Second,
with your eyes or really undressing her?
Really.
Well, Mike, I'm talking about the many times that you and I have mm-hmm. done what we like to call our social work.
Right, yes.
Mike and I will go out to a retirement community
mm-hmm.
and we'll say, hey, we're Don and Mike and we're here to show and tell and entertain.
And then later in the segment, there's always it's kind of a Q&A when we ask the group that's assembled there, who's the most appreciative of you today? And that's when we find our subject, who gets a bath.
We give her a special treat.
Our winner. Thank you, Rob. Our winner.
She gets a special treat. Uh-huh. And, you know, when you slip off those corrective shoes and you take off you peel out the odor reader, and then when she's looking at you and you smell the odor reader.
And smile knowingly.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, she crumbles. I don't care if she's 17 or 70.
Right.
That's but
right.
I found it really works with all the 70-plus babes I've scored with.
It does. It does. And especially if they're wearing those half slippers with the white socks.
Baby!
That is T.O. And I'm not talking about Terrell Owens. I'm talking about Turn On.
Right. So, grannies, come on now. Email us. If no one emails us about this to bring their grandmother down to our station at 10800 Main Street in Fairfax on Wednesday, that's fine. We got a regular show.
You must check with your grandmother first. We're not going to do that for you.
And although we could do this on the telephone, it will be much more fun getting the grandmas down here.
Yeah, I mean,
and getting their pictures. And,
sure.
I mean, besides, how else can we give them the rigorous physical challenge?
Going over.
You know.
Right.
How many bananas can you peel in 30 seconds?
Yeah, the scent of a woman.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
The many scents.
Okay, you know, now we really better start.
The blend.
The show, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, we better start the show. Because I got a ton of stuff to talk about. I know you got a ton of stuff to talk about. We've got some kind of guest today. We've got some kind of CBS radio survey that I think we should all take as seriously as possible.
Very good.
And
count on it.
Hold on. Let me just see. What are you doing? What are you doing already? You doing that already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
all right. Oh, you're right. We're running. Gosh, we're running late. Wow. How could that be, Rob? Hello. Don and Mike Show. I mean, not officially hi. Don and Mike Show yet. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Steve.
Yes. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
I just wanted to tell you that there's a Beastie Boys song called Boomin' Granny. It's all about picking up grandmas, and it's pretty funny.
You know, the Beastie Boys, I think, make light of what we consider to be a very serious subject. And I personally am offended by the concept of the Beastie Boys.
You're disrespectful.
I think that sounds to me like a disrespectful song.
Mike and I like quoting Tom Jones.
Mm-hmm.
She's a lady.
There you go. Whoa, whoa, whoa. She's a lady.
Talking about a little lady.
And the lady is mine.
Is mine. Oh, there we go. Okay.
Boy, am I.
over to your laughing place. Here we go.
What do you think they were looking at that they made him take his pants off?
Laughing place. Go.
Pull his pants down and tape up his groin.
I know. So funny. Your part's coming up, my friend.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between 2 and 6, or between 1 and 5, or noon and 4, or check your local... missing things there. Yeah, they didn't...
What do you think they were looking at that they made him take his pants off?
They didn't make him change the words of this one last night.
Hello.
They don't talk about dead men.
Hello.
Having hot action. Hot underwear action. Hot. Hot.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike. We appreciate it. Hi there.
And then I sat and really worked it.
Yeah. Oh.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
All right. You ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Let's see what it is today.
You really frightened those nice Jews, young man.
No.
How's your new permanent intro?
How's your Adonidor?
You really frightened those nice Jews, young man.
All I said was boo. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Dinner, Dancing, and Sex, and all the ships at sea. Beware!
Beware.
Or they will run a gadget play, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. Thank you, Robbie. Yeah, bye, everybody. Well, it's officially on the air now.
Good.
Don and Mike Show. And it's a new episode on this Monday.
Monday!
0206. Bot 6.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Hi, Buzz. And today we start with the Stones. The main stone. Mick Jagger. Right.
That's the main stone.
Here's your telephone number from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636.
Hey.
You can hear us on the internet. If you go to our website, donandmikewebsite.com, click on Listen Live. Now, you don't want to drink the internet stream today.
No.
This is stuff that we found in the Stones dressing room on the floor.
Oh, my.
Last night.
You need to call
my
plumber.
Just as evil as anything can be. Look at that.
There's hair and there's nails.
That's a tooth.
And just a little bit more. You can get the internet stream, which, again, no drinking.
No
drinking.
Wouldn't advise.
Don't go near that.
No. It's at the website. If you're listening on the internet and you can't use 877 numbers, you can call us at 800-636-1067. And if you're listening on WJFK in D.C., you can call us at 202-432-1067. If you need to send us electronic mail, we love hearing that, guys. So you've got mail, just write us at DonandMikeWebsite.com.
We appreciate it.
That's what I say. Hey, where's that thing? There it is. Hello, telephone. Try that. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, Mike, yes. This is JJ, man.
Who's this?
This is JJ. I'm calling from the Prince George Retirement Home. I will bring you a very lovely selection of ladies for your show tomorrow.
No,
I'll bring you some continent and some incontinent so you can have water game.
Okay. It's Wednesday,
yes.
If it happens,
right.
Our granny's special.
Yes, you have to have their permission to bring them here.
Yeah, they have to be lucid enough to be able to, not like that gentleman.
Can't force them here.
Right.
It will all happen via your emails, so don't even bother calling.
The grannies.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, brothers.
Hey.
Steelers going to the Super Bowl.
It's Drunk Chad. It's Drunk Chad from Sacramento, California.
That was awesome.
What was awesome, Chad?
Hey, check this out. You want to know what movie I've been in?
What?
I've been in a real movie with Robert, Robin Williams.
What's the movie?
I'm not lying.
What's the movie?
Yes.
Which movie, Chad?
Flubber.
What?
Flubber?
I was in Flubber.
You're in Flubber.
Son of Flubber?
He was really close to being banned last time, and I don't see him backing away from that line.
No.
Hold on. Come on.
Do you know why gay people are so clean?
You know
why are gay people so clean?
Why?
Because what they do is so dirty. Good night, folks.
How can we ban that boy? Come on. Goodbye, Chad.
I'll draw you a chart.
He's gone. He's passed out.
He's gone. Okay.
He has perished.
Hello, Don and Mike's show. Hello.
Yeah, I just want to tell Don and Mike as soon as they
Hold on, stop. Stop before there's gunplay.
We don't want to have our first shooting this early in the show.
You are on the air. You're talking with us now. This is an unscreened call. Please deal with it.
I am dealing. Guys, listen, yesterday when they started talking about pulling his pants down, I said to my wife, this is going to be on Don and Mike tomorrow.
Oh, you win.
There you go. Brilliant. And did you tell your wife as well that this is going to happen to you?
Man, you really did that Goodfellas style. You know, you really fooled him. I mean, you really, really fooled him.
Didn't see it coming.
I told my wife, that'll be on Don and Mike.
Well, he's gone now.
Now he's gonna need the second face transplant.
I didn't bring the lime either.
Well, we've got some type of spray. Yeah. Got some Lysol.
That wasn't like some of your other executions, you know, where I look at you and go, what, are you some kind of maniac?
Sprays won't help.
Hey. Don't you give me a hard time about spraying our listeners with bullets. Mike, you...
You some kind of maniac?
Listen, okay, here we go. Everything's out on the table. Mm-hmm. Mike does it during commercials. During commercials, mm-hmm. Mike answers the phone when people know that they're not going to be on the air.
Only when you go to the bathroom and I have access to the gun.
Like, I don't smell...
Yeah, I know. And, gunpowder.
And how many times have I come in and I keep hearing... GSR. I keep hearing you say to Rob.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying you say to Rob, what about the GSR? And that one time I said to you, and you said GNR. We're talking about Guns and Roses.
Yes.
What do you think? I'm stupid.
I'm sorry. I love it, though. You know, I really like it. I have so much fun that I like to carry it into the commercial break. I wish you'd let me play with the gun more often in the studio.
Hello, it's Don and Mike show. Well, it's right there. Just break glass in case of emergency. Hello.
How's it?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, you know, if you can't get any grannies to come, can you maybe get some trannies?
Hey, okay, man, when you see it.
Okay.
All right, here.
Here you go. Hi. There.
Whoa.
Okay, wow.
Take that.
Save some for the commercials.
Wow. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, how y'all doing?
I'm doing fine. Mike's doing fine. Buzz is doing fine. We're Rob's fine. Doing fine.
Great. I just wanted to tell Don, nice grouping on his shots he just fired.
Listen. I feel like we're doing the show from Baghdad now. Please, let's stop with these dumb, redundant calls.
Mm-hmm.
Only call if you have something important to say.
Something to add, something to contribute.
Oh, right there. I mean, no one ever calls anything important to say.
Well, a lot of people still have the fever.
Well,
a lot of people have the fever.
Sometimes you have to go to an outside source to get what you need. Would you pull up your cell phone?
Yeah.
Didn't you get a great message from Joe?
Yeah.
Now, this was after the poker game?
Yeah, this was 1 in the morning, Saturday going into Sunday.
Oh.
6 hours later.
So we... Hold on, what are you doing?
I was trying to dial.
6 hours after Mike departed. Actually, we all departed.
Yeah, we had a good time at poker. We'll tell you all about that momentarily.
And then Joe made this call to Rob.
So let's hear. Now, this is what... I've not heard this call... But I'm guessing, is this what we would like all of our calls on the phone to be like?
Yeah.
To be this entertaining? Hold on. It's your cell, right?
Yeah. I'm really sorry I missed this call.
You have reached the Sprint voice mailbox of...
You weren't up?
Rob Spiewak! Rob Spiewak!
Okay, we heard it.
Great, isn't it?
Yeah.
One saved message. First saved message from
Joe.
Received yesterday at 12:53 a.m.
hey, just come see what's going on with you. Hey, Rob, what's up? Like, your wife's not home and you're still asleep. What's up with that?
Wow.
Anyway, have fun partying with your Tanya later.
Wow.
Not Joe's
That's
best.
Fantastic.
Wow. No,
to send a reply message, press 2.
Joe.
Grace.
Joe Ardinger.
Pretty
How
great.
About that?
This is Ardinger.
It's fabulous. That? Now let's see if your callers can keep up that level of entertainment. And we won't have the smell of bullets in here.
That's great.
Although, you know, just in case, let's get the phone out. Because we can always throw phones.
It's nice to have that option.
Throw phones instead of bullets. Hello, Donna, Mike Show. Oops, hello.
Can you hear us?
You're on the air.
I heard what amounted to.
Okay. Oh,
you are on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Oh, sorry that my phone cut out. And after that guy turned to his wife and said, yeah, I bet this is going to be on Don and Mike tomorrow, he ate his boogers and said, these are delicious.
What sorry. A good
wow.
Measure.
Couldn't help myself.
I don't blame you one bit. We understand. I'm with you on
myself.
That killing.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't help myself.
It's fantastic. He deserved it. Thought he was off the hook because he was rubbing his head from the phone.
Yeah.
You know, they don't believe me in confession. When I show up on Saturday, as I always do, mm-hmm. as the good Catholic boy that I am,
right.
when I show up for the Saturday 6:30 mass to go to confession.
You slide into the confessional.
Forgive me, kid toucher, for I have sinned.
Mm-hmm.
I killed about 100 people this week on the radio. That's how I just say a Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, have you seen that little boy from the Dr. Seuss movie?
The Italian one, though, isn't it? You go out and you say yourself a one a Hail Mary.
Right.
Thank you, Donnie. I listened to a show. You got to knock them people off.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yes.
It's Edgar. I just want to let you know that I'm going to be a co-lead tonight. I'm 24.
That is a horrible Edgar Stiles
Not
impression.
Very good.
If you're going to do acting, you've got to keep your voice up. But that's the Chloe.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Chloe, I can't see my man. Chloe.
Manhood.
Hood.
Oops.
Oh.
Donaldo E. Miguel. Speaking many languages for many people.
This is Edgar calling from the hood.
Donaldo E. Miguel. Hola.
Chloe, come over here and check out this internet porn site that I'm on.
Oh.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, what's up?
Not a whole lot. Did either one of you notice during the pregame music festivities in the NFL's hasty atonement to Motown, they never bothered to update any of the media stuff on their website. They still showed Celine Dion singing the national anthem.
Who the hell goes to their website while the game's on?
Well, we were trying to figure out who's along.
Bye-bye.
All right, now listen.
I think you help.
You know what? You're turning this into some sort of mass grave.
I think if we're going to talk about the pregame, let's talk about how fat my man Stevie Wonder is.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, when he's behind the piano, you don't know.
Right.
But then when they got him out there on stage, it's like, oh, my God, Luther Vandross has got himself a pair of sunglasses.
That makes me very nervous when they bring him out in front because that stage was very small and very crowded.
And very high.
All it takes is one step forward.
And I kept hearing this. Stevie, wonder what's for lunch? Stevie, wonder what's for dinner?
Isn't she lovely?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's up?
Hi there. But there was no doubting. This year, the Super Bowl I want to make sure I get this correct. The XLBM crown went to Aretha Franklin.
Yes.
Just as lovely as ever.
She's a lot of woman. There's plenty to love.
She sure is.
Pork.
A lot of Rosie.
She sure
Perfect.
Is. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted, speaking of doing the wild thing with the old women, how did you like the hind end on that little goat on the Budweiser commercial in last night's game?
The hind end on the goat. Oh, you mean the streaking goat?
Yeah.
It was a sheep.
I think it was a platypus.
For this guy,
it was a shorn sheep. I'm sorry, but if we're going to be technical, it was not a goat.
For this guy.
And then I sat and really worked it.
For this guy, it was a goat.
Well, give me the gunshot then, please. No, I was wrong.
No, we're not going to allow you to commit suicide.
No, I want you guys to do it for
me. Tell me something. Which hand did you dial the phone with?
Right hand.
We might need another weapon. Because don't they use the hammer?
Yeah.
Yeah, we might need a hammer.
I didn't even hurt your hand.
But I like that idea. You know, really, the dialing hand?
Sure.
You break a few dialing hands, that might even be better than a phone.
Sends a message, you know?
I can shoot my BB gun with my left hand.
Oh, God.
Click, 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 click.
I guess I set it off. Sorry.
Put your hand out, your dialing hand.
Okay.
Ah! Oh, that's cleaner than that.
That's great.
Was that off?
Shut up. I'm hammering your hand.
Incidentally, the new tradition of doing that to the hand.
Click, click.
I think you really should. The people that are getting that treatment should really scream out in agony.
There you go. We haven't planned.
Hey, stop.
That he can do.
Great. Okay, now, we're not going to hang up on you, and we're not going to shoot you.
Okay.
May I just ask you to be one, just be like a laboratory animal for us, just with one more display of what we might do to callers.
Okay.
I got to be very careful about this.
Okay.
Well, as John Madden said,
what do you think they were looking at that they made him take his pants off?
Okay, I need you to take your pants off.
Come on
now.
All right,
go ahead.
Just for you guys.
And without being totally
graphic,
yeah, take everything off. Now,
let me put the phone down.
Okay. Now, listen,
this guy is, you know, I just want to say I appreciate him playing along now that he's got a broken hand.
That's right. Now you can unbutton.
Are you ready?
Okay. I am butt naked.
I'd like to say, I ain't no homo, but I taint afraid of taking care of any person that calls this show. And I'm sandpapering. Now,
between.
That's right, Mike.
Make it stop.
Starting to look raw.
Right between.
Oh.
There you go. And look at that. Now we've got some beautiful Parmesan cheese.
What an interesting torture device that was.
That got him. That took the fight out of him. Turned it into tomato sauce, actually.
Put some alcohol on that.
All right, goodbye.
I liked the part of the pregame when Aretha Franklin reached over and picked off Aaron Neville's mole, thinking it was a raisin. That was fun.
Mike, that was a tribute to New Orleans.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah. The NFL now stands and says, salute, let's sponsor America.
To honor the AP, up with people, what fun at football, at America's referee, Hasselbeck, hello.
And, you know, I know they got 5 hours to fill. And I know that the whole process of the Super Bowl is really that they want to turn it into a Disney-like. Yeah, here's my take on this. I'm going to try to give you as quickly as I can so we don't screw up the whole show with the timing today. They want the Super Bowl to be a family adventure like a theme park like Disney.
Right.
Where everything is sterile and everything is great and everything now, especially after Janet Jackson, is not offensive.
Right.
While, on the other hand, we're actively selling violence. We're actively selling sex. Mm-hmm. We are actively selling booze.
Right. Mm-hmm.
At one point, I was watching the pregame show with that same person that I saw 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they had a thing. I don't know if you saw the thing about like Down syndrome kids,
yes,
playing football. I got so pissed. At first, of course, I laughed, okay, mm-hmm. because that's just me, like,
right.
You know, but I said, you know, this is what stinks about what they've done with the Super Bowl. These kids with Down syndrome, who they get one player to come out and do a photo op with, and they show, like, the kid in the wheelchair and his dad pushing him, you know, trying to give you the metaphor that football equals
warm and fuzzy
life, right. And that, right. You know, these kids with Down syndrome, why, look, just the fact that they're out playing football and one of their heroes is there, you know, It just it just reeks of total crap. That on one hand, they run
the crap detector goes off.
Cynical.
They run, and I love football. I buy into it. Okay, so I'm all over the place. But they're selling the fact that, oh, look at these poor kids. It's almost like a Jerry Lewis thing, mm-hmm. where it's like, look at the crippled kids.
Yeah, it's exploitive.
Look at the crippled kids. Oh, isn't that sad? The NFL, the United Way charities, will be right back. And then it's some chick on TV with big boobs going, do you want a drink that will let you stay up for 5 days in a row? This is it, boys. I mean, it's just...
A lot of mixed signals.
Yes.
You know, we don't need... I didn't need this during my Super Bowl pregame show. Unless they're serious about it. I mean, unless it's going to be part of every pregame. Unless it's going to be a little... Shirts and skins, Down syndrome, football game. She'll get you in Dutch. Now I'm watching. You can look, but
you're dead in nighttime. Chris Burke might have been a better analyst than Belichick.
Belichick was a little out of it.
He's not happy unless he's wearing a sweatshirt.
I think so.
Very stiff.
But it's everything. It's the up with it's what I call the up with people syndrome,
right.
Where they, you know, they want to show, hey, we're making millions and billions of dollars off the American public. We're going to show you what good people we are.
Right.
Yeah. Did you get the
when
thank
they're
you?
Really not that good?
Did you get the thank you email from the NFL?
No.
I got one this weekend. Thanks for the support through the season.
What have you done for them?
Through CBS Sportsline, I guess, for the fantasy football.
Wow.
Huh. It was very nice.
That's how much it meant to you.
It really did.
I might have deleted mine.
I didn't get it
without reading it.
Mike, you should have read it because they said, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. See, look. There's Tori Holt. Or no, I'm sorry. They didn't do it. It was like, look. There's Tori Holt. Big game Holt of the St. Louis Rams. Look. He's actually 3 feet away from a crippled child. Now, he won't get so close as to catch whatever it is the child has. But look at him. He's actually going to, oh, hold on. This is a great moment. He's actually going to touch the youngster's little muff of red hair. Oh!
The NFL. We're so nice.
Yeah, their whole big thing now is that they don't run the commercials for the...
ED drugs.
Yeah, for ED.
Right.
For your penis.
No more.
Meanwhile, there's some guy back, you know, in the bowels of the stadium talking to Mick Jagger.
You will not use that lyric!
I know.
That you made famous, that everybody's already heard 10,000 times.
Don't sing it!
All right, we really do have to break it
here. Open up the Janet Jackson rule book.
And the other problem that I had with that thing about the special needs kids, I just thought was just totally just using them. And
exploit them.
When you play football with them, they always turn it over on downs.
Three and out, you mean?
They never get a... Damn it.
Don't. That's what really made you pound your fist. That's what really bothered you.
The MVP is the punter.
Not the hypocrisy of the NFL. No, it's right, the fact that the skills, they just didn't have the skills.
Down. Second down. Third down.
Time to punt.
The NFL loves everybody.
Pull his pants down and tape up his groin.
Thank you, Muppet.
The spectacular is over.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
I flopped the nut straight.
Motherfucker! You blew your nut! Motherfucker! That is it!
That's it! What the f*** are you talking about? That's it! Take it back!
Yes! Yes! No more! No! Not tonight! This son of a bitch all night, he chick, chick, chick! He tripped me!
Well, you feeling satisfied now, Teddy? Because I can go on busting you up all night.
Yes! Yes!
He beats me. Straight up.
Yeah.
Pay that man his money.
The Don and Mike Show. Broadcasting Butterball Naked. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
This message just handed to me by John Norman, who runs our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com. Thank the listeners for sending all of the granny porn. I don't think they understand the contest.
Oh, dear. Or do
it's
they?
A skills competition.
Exactly, Mike.
God's sake. God.
What do we got to do to call back there?
I mean, that's the right number, right? It would be nice.
I sure love the street life.
Get
so
a dial tone.
I really do.
I like the nightlife.
You like to boogie?
Oh, yeah.
On the disco round? She was a pig. Alicia Bridges.
Yes.
Well.
Hey, hi. Joe?
No.
John.
Hi.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, that's not a very Joe-like, the way you answer the phone, John.
Yeah, I got a little Monday Joe going on. Sorry.
Hi there, John. Listen, what type of response have we gotten? It's, we announced an hour ago. It's a throwaway, really, on Wednesday. We get a couple of grandmas down here, and we'll play a game called The Grannies. And we said, please email rather than tie up the phone lines. Mm-hmm. And what have we received thus far?
Granny porn.
That's it?
Pretty much.
Same. Well, so people don't understand the concept.
I'm not
of
sure.
Egg.
We are not looking for granny porn. I mean, what are we going to do with granny porn?
We want grandmas who are going to be able to have some competition.
Well, apparently they're up for some another type of competition.
Let's be honest. This is all really a charade. It is simply a hoax, if you will. Misdirection. Thy name is me.
Right.
All I really wanted was some granny porn.
You got your will.
I'm sorry, I'll stop hitting delete then.
Oh, no, please forward them all. Forward them all to my private account, to my private sex account.
Delightful.
As you wish.
No, only if you want a grandmother to play. If you'd like to supply us with a name and a phone number of someone to come down to the studio.
And ideally, wouldn't we like to have the... you know, the daughters bring the grandmothers down,
that'd
you know.
That would be nice.
Because
it's $1,000.
Right. That's nice.
So that's the prize. All right. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Oh, listen, before we're going to get into the poker thing here.
Oh, and keep in mind for that contest, we only have two handicap spots here.
we'll make more. Absolutely. We'll let them pull up front.
Hey, you know, I almost... Man, I had the... Well, before I tell you about that, how much money did you win at the poker game on Saturday night, John?
$75.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's nice.
Keeping track.
Congratulations, John.
Coming in today. Now, listen, I know that there's fire lanes and everything else in this building.
Yes.
And that there are areas that you're not supposed to park.
That's
and
right.
I, like everybody else, the times when my parking spot has been used by someone else, I'll park in a fire lane for a couple of seconds. Mm-hmm. Here's the deal when I'm trying to pull in the building today. You had the UPS guy.
Yes.
And the UPS guy had his truck like halfway dangling over the curb into the street. Mm-hmm. And he was taking up his whole side of the driveway to enter the parking structure.
Right.
Just about at the back end of the UPS truck, mm-hmm. some ass pulled a big... gigantic, like Ford F8000 mega, eight friggin' tires on this thing,
big truck.
Pickup truck, and left. If you were making a right hand turn off Elm Street into our building,
right.
You would crash into these cars.
Right, yes.
Now, fortunately, as you know, I have cat like reflexes.
I know. We all admire your cat like reflexes.
More than once.
If I had not been tooling around the corner
right.
and had my normal CLRs there,
right.
Boy, oh boy.
And you hit the driveway at about 80 usually, right? I mean, you like to get into your space fast.
Well, I like the squeal.
Right. Mm-hmm. But just see, almost put it up on two wheels.
Impressive. Come on now, squeal.
Come on,
squeal.
Squeal real good. Whee! No, anyway, so I pull in to the parking lot, and I can't get in to the parking lot. And the problem now is that half of my car... is sticking out into traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you pull around, I'm not doing an adequate job of describing this.
It was blocked.
Yeah, it was blocked by the UPS truck and then by the white truck, which I could not see when I made it past the UPS truck. So now here's the thing. I'm trying to back my car out
right.
to get back on to Elm Street to go around the building.
Uh-huh.
But because the UPS truck is hanging like three quarters of the way over the edge,
you can't.
I'm blind.
Can't right. See.
So I'm Stevie Wonder. So mm-hmm. every time I'm pulling back, I'm getting this. Right? Because people are like, hey, ass.
Because the traffic is pretty thick on that small road.
So anyway, there really is not a point to this, except I don't fault the UPS guy.
The UPS guys, you've got to cut the slack because they got to, you know, they got to hustle in, drop their stuff off,
sometimes.
And hustle out.
Yeah. Who's got the big little penis syndrome pickup truck out there.
I don't know.
And you could say the same thing about me on the day.
Does the license plate say M. Hughes?
You could certainly say the same things about me on the days that I drive my SUV in. Same thing, small penis,
yeah, but you have
big
a parking
car.
Space.
Yeah, right. But I just meant...
No, you're not talking about the vehicle as much as you're talking about where he parked.
And it is an oversized... It's not just a pickup truck.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's one of those big-ass pickup trucks.
Mm-hmm. So you got double wheels?
Yeah.
Got the big double wheels in the back?
I believe so.
Well, dark color, like blue or black?
It was white. White, Rob's favorite color, white.
I don't know.
White. And whoever had it parked there, just what an ass.
Mm.
What an ass. We should find that person right now, bring them up to the studio. No, and get out the sandpaper.
Get this and sand them?
Oh, sand them down.
Sand them in that special place?
That's what I say.
Oh, this is sanding.
Anyway, Jesus Christ.
What is wrong with people?
I mean, really, what if there was an emergency?
I know, it is dangerous. It's a mess out there.
I almost felt like calling the fire department.
I understand. And having them towed.
Making one of those public arrests. Citizen's arrest.
I have trouble with the 7 p.m. UPS guy who parks in the right-hand turn lane out there. Horribly dangerous.
Yeah, or the lady.
Yeah,
sometimes
whatever.
The lady
person. The UPS person.
That is, as much as I cut the UPS people some slack, that is ridiculous.
Hey, and how about this? You know what this is? I'm calling the nerve center right now. Oops. Calling the front desk. When you've heard the phone ringing and ringing and ringing.
Andrew must be up there.
I think Colette was there when I came back from the bathroom during the break.
Is the station unmanned? Interesting.
Well, I think Rob's going to... What are you doing, Rob? What are you doing? Hey, Rob. Excuse me. What are you doing?
There's a gentleman here with the white truck.
Great. Thank you. Bring him in.
I'll let the trial begin.
Bring him in. No need to talk to anybody else at the front desk. Thank you, Rob.
We have the perp.
He ran.
Oh, he ran?
Yeah.
Where'd he go?
Hold on.
Tony's.
Oh, no.
Something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We've got major controversy.
People are scrambling outside the studio.
The phone system is down at the front desk because engineering's working on it.
Oh, that's okay. What about the guy with the truck?
I'm going to go find out right now. I think he's up with Bob upstairs.
So he walked. He came back. But now, this is a guy. What's this guy doing? See, we share space in this building with a title
company. Right. Mm-hmm.
However, we have what they say is tightest Tupperware, state-of-the-art security. Come on, we've all read the memos. They've got cameras throughout the building. You have to use your pass card to get in.
Right.
Here's my point. If some guy is refinancing his mortgage and he parks like an ass down in the parking lot.
Right.
And you start talking about him.
How can he
get through security?
How does he show up at the door? And I mean, because when I turned to Rob
at
and I said,
studio door.
Said, what are you doing? Rob was talking to a guy that I didn't recognize. Now,
maybe he is as a guest of Bob Skin, and that's how he got in.
Well, no, that don't make sense.
You can be a guest of Bob Skin.
Because they don't let people just run around. So what did the guy say when he came by?
He said it was his truck, and then he said he would come in, and then he said no, and he walked away, and he had a grain-based beverage.
He had a beer?
Yes.
He's drinking on a Monday?
Yeah.
Monday afternoon?
Maybe still.
Wow.
He's a guest of Bob.
Well, now we really have to get him down here.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go get him.
Because, really, if nothing else, the guy needs at least to know, listen, here's proper etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're a guest in someone's home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, please don't be an ass. Don't park in the fire lane.
Exactly.
With your big, gigantic, look-at-me pickup truck.
And he can't leave now that he's been drinking.
Now, this is a woman coming in and a man. Hi. Now, step up to the microphone.
Hi there. How you
Wait, there are three people here now. Bob Skin is here.
He's the guy from the title company.
Now, I smell alcohol. You're all loaded.
That's holding drinks.
What are we drinking? Are you the pickup truck owner?
Yeah, I'm the pickup truck owner.
You're the pickup truck owner.
He's the owner.
Actually,
who's the driver?
You're the owner.
Who's the driver?
Neither of them today.
I'm the driver.
Okay, but when you got here, before you started drinking, who was the driver?
He was Bob. Bob's pointing to him. Bob, why is everybody drinking right now?
Because it's happy hour.
It's after four.
What the hell is going on here? What the hell is going on in this building today?
I don't know. All I know is that we're looking at Joy Philbin right now drinking a beer.
It's not beer.
No.
I believe it's whiskey. mixed beverages.
Doesn't matter, fixes the building.
He fixes the building?
He's a contractor.
That explains
the contractor. Okay, so that would explain.
What?
He's a guy.
They're not making any effort to explain themselves.
The guy from the title company is just pointing it at the glass.
Yes.
You know, what is in, may I ask you, contractor, what's in your glass? What are you drinking today?
Sierra Nevada.
Yeah.
Not Bob, I was asking him. Sir, what's in your glass? Any idea?
It's Butch.
Okay. Can this man speak for himself?
No, usually she speaks
him
for
to
me.
Start. He'll never stop.
Really? I find that hard to believe.
I can't not laugh at him.
I find it hard to believe.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever heard
How
of
long have you guys been, like, knocking him back this afternoon? Is that the first one? Second one?
About an hour and a half.
Yeah. An hour and a half. You know, ma'am, you're going to need to take over the mic because he's not speaking. Your husband is not speaking at all.
He speaks for me.
Okay, well, let her do that.
You know what
obviously.
Happens in a marriage?
Mm-hmm. Listen to
you ever heard of the fire lane, either one of you? Right, now, let me guess. You came into the building. You had some, you're refinancing something. That's why you're here with Bob.
Is that?
No, we're not.
No, you repair the building?
We were looking at a property.
Okay, so you're here on business.
To renovate.
And you notice, gosh, there don't seem to be any spots that are right by the door. So, well, we'll just pull our big-ass pickup truck right into the fire lane. Really?
There was a spot that I could have put it in, but you know what?
You were there.
The motorcycle wasn't there today.
That Cadillac was there.
What?
Cadillac's there.
I'm totally confused.
Okay. Are you talking about my car? Listen, I got here. Your car was there before my car got here.
That's correct.
Right.
Are you guys from Sacramento?
Well, you were in the, why were you in the fire lane?
What I'm trying to tell you is I think I got a better connection than you do.
What do you mean?
I can park in the fire lane.
No, you can't. You cannot park in the fire lane.
Let me park there.
How many drinks have you had, sir?
Half of one.
Half of one. I'm guessing more.
Half a keg.
I'm half a keg.
So is your car down there right now?
Legally.
Park legally.
Legally?
Been reparked.
Well, I happen to know the good officers at Fairfax County, they do like listening to the show. So remember, you heard it. He's right. In the fire lane.
And he can, he's got a connection.
He's got a connection.
So he can do that.
Here in the building.
Now, Don, you'll have to really identify the vehicle for the next time you visit.
Yes, it is.
Was she asking
about the studio materials?
Yeah, it looks like it.
She lost focus.
We're in the business. That's what we do.
You're in the business of remodeling?
Sell you something.
What's that, what?
She'll sell you something.
I will.
Watch out.
Yeah, hey, mind your tone, pal. You're in my studio here. Got Chuck Howley over here drinking his bourbon and water, whatever the hell it is. And I don't even have a dog in this fight.
I wish you could see Bob in the corner. He's got the look of a guy who just threw a cigarette down at a gas station.
I will pay anybody in this building any amount of money to pull a fire alarm right now. I swear to Christ.
Bob, don't knock over the cigarette.
I know it would be a waste of taxpayers' money.
Yes.
But darn it, these two kids would be taught a lesson.
Yes.
A valuable lesson.
You wouldn't pull that alarm, and nobody associated with this show would.
No, I just heard there's some vigilante on our staff to do that.
This is true.
Or you could just go move your car out of the fire.
He's already moved it.
It's in a double spot now.
It's in the best double spot. All right, you guys get out of here. Thank you very much
for
coming by. Bye-bye. Bye. Nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
Have a nice day. Nothing was going to be accomplished there.
Yes.
Either is it bourbon?
No, it's Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. But
it smells like high octane.
Yeah, I think it is.
No, wow.
I think the guy
and a good looking guy.
Yeah, he was an ass too.
Delightful.
Listen, he could have been a grown up one of those kids who was playing the game yesterday.
He wasn't communicating really well.
Now
I'm in a double spot now.
I moved it now.
His I could smell. His
yeah.
his glass,
mm-hmm.
and that, Rob, that did not smell like beer to me, like any kind of ale.
It had foam on it, though.
Okay.
I mean, it was whatever it is, they were being generous with the pour.
But, I mean, it was powerful. I could smell the booze.
And, Bob, the minute that they opened their mouth, he wanted them out of here.
I know.
Worse than
but
anything.
Bob brought them in.
I know, and then he knew he blew it.
Right.
Bob's got to love the fact that they say, we got special permission.
Oh, and then what did he say about the, you know, I got a better connection than you do.
In a double wide parking spot.
And one thing is clear, nothing became clear when they arrived. Mm-hmm. I still don't.
Negative.
I don't understand whether they were here to renovate a property, whether they repair the building, what
this
they
building.
Do. This
were,
building.
A lot of stories were thrown out. I think we just.
And if they repair, like, you know what? You open the door just for a second. Maybe they can hear me down the hall. Because if they renovate the building, thanks for fixing the window with the bullet hole.
There. Thank you.
Is this Corian?
That explains.
Good job,
you
honey.
Know, thank goodness nothing happened to me today when I made that. Like reflexes.
You could have been killed. You have the photograph, don't you, now, of that truck forever in your mind.
Yes, I do.
And the guy who drives it.
And his what?
And now I remember the license plate. Smells like puke. It was a wonderful personalized thing.
Virginia plate?
Virginia's for lovers. And then it smells like puke.
Joy Philbin, an autogram coming by. Didn't he look like every Dallas football players that they like that. Really? I know. Autogram never played for Dell.
Really, the guy looked like he was kind of unbalanced.
he had a drink. He looked potentially dangerous.
Really? Kind of looked like a grown-up Biff from Back to the Future.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And didn't he look like the kind of guy that was...
Like, hold on, Mike. Do you remember the Back to the Future where they went to the future where Biff turned the town like into Las Vegas?
Right,
and he
right.
had a bad hairpiece? Imagine that character 10 years
sure.
later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Doesn't he look like the kind of guy that if it really got to it, if it really got heated, that he'd say, well, then I'd like to show you something I've got in my pickup truck.
Yep.
And then he just pulls out the biggest double-barrel shotgun you've ever seen.
Double! Right. Everything's double. Double truck, double spot, double barrel.
Meanwhile, Bob's skin over in the corner, they're embarrassing me.
Well, listen, here's the
now,
piece.
Does he own the building now?
I don't know. Here's the advice from me to that guy. You know, keep your drunk clients out of the radio station. I mean, it's one thing if they're going to double park and park
right.
illegally, and I'm going to bitch about it. That's great.
Right.
But, you know, you got the Rummy family in town. You know, don't bring them in here with their rum cake breath.
And Skin was shaking his head in the corner saying, they just wanted to meet Don and Mike.
They're very big fans. Now they know better.
They should have known better.
Not gonna. He didn't like, Bob Skin didn't like the comment the guy made about, I've got a better connection. That's when Bob, I thought, that's when he had the cigarette on the gasoline.
Yeah, shuffling them out.
Parker factor.
Because I'm sure that Bob Skin said to the guy, yeah, don't worry, park anywhere. Yeah, I'm sure he said, hey, I own the building, don't worry about it.
Right.
We're looking at a property. Yeah.
Is that Korean?
And it's only Monday. That's
Korean?
What's delightful.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was very little time between Sunday and Monday.
Right. She does all the talking for me, duh.
You know what that's like. Well, I saw that Cadillac.
And what's the deal with the motorcycle? What was he talking about?
I think he was referencing the fact that apparently somebody... Now, I didn't say anything about the guy's car. I got the feeling that he must have scoped out or figured out what spot is what.
Okay.
That I've got my car in my spot, and the spot next to mine, which is empty, sometimes you have a motorcycle.
Oh, okay. It still didn't make a hell of a lot of sense.
Not really, no.
Well, your motorcycle's there. What, you mean the spots that we have that we have because we work here? Because we've been assigned those parking spaces.
Ah, drunk people.
They're fine. Oh, for drunk. Oh, for loaded.
Oh, for drunk. Jesus Christ.
But I like it a lot more when I'm the drunk.
Our savior.
Not,
think we all do.
Yeah. Not talking to them, you know?
Okay. Oh, hold on a second. Let's get a real fast report. From Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, good.
Not sure who this is. A listener in Detroit. Hello? Well, it just says on the screen, a guy at the, is it the Ren Center?
I'm not sure. Is that with the Renaissance Center?
Is that what they call it?
What's
it?
Renta-Center.
Renta-Center.
I'm going to try to get something about Stuart Scott. Hello?
Huh.
Hello?
Uh-oh.
Oh, they were working on the phones.
Yeah, they're working on the phones. Don't tell me our whole system's melted down.
Oh, no. Hold on a second.
Because maybe it's not just the front.
Let me try to touch that. Let me try.
I don't hear.
Hold on a second. We have a dial tone. Now we lost the guy from Detroit. Let me try that one. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Ah. All right, there you go. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Hey, Don.
Yeah.
I want to know what was on the menu at halftime. Did you have chili? Or was it, did you get your duck sick? Did you have duck sick soup?
Oh, come on. Stop it, please. I'll tell you every detail.
Thank
I'll
you.
Let you smell my fingers.
Yay.
When we come right back.
This is the Don and...
You animals. Disgust me.
Don. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Bear down Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl 35 on the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. For the Bears, it's down their last-ditch effort. Fourth down and goal. They're at the 8-yard line. The handoff to Buzz Burbank. Breaks the tackle at the line of scrimmage. He's at the 5. Sheds the tackle at the 2. Touchdown, Buzz Burbank. And the Bears have won the world championship.
Right.
What do you think they were looking at that they made him take his pants off?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Muppet.
Pull his pants down and tape up his groin.
Right.
Not a word, my sweet. Just listen to the Don and Mike show.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
There we go. All right, now. Before we talk about the poker game, which is going to take a lot of time, talk about Mike's bet on the Seahawks.
Good. Pshaw.
Two things that I wanted to bring up for the weekend, besides having all you guys come over to play poker on Saturday, which we'll be, talk about.
Good.
We've got... Oh, and Buzz, I hope you're ready.
Yeah, I think I am, actually.
Just hope you're ready for the spotlight to be on you.
Well, I thought there might even be more than one spotlight today.
You think so?
Well, I thought there might be.
What?
Well, now, that confuses me.
Well, perhaps I brought my own spotlights then.
No. Now,
all right, next, then I'll ask the question. Next to you,
uh-huh.
Who would you shine that spotlight on?
Well, your departure, I thought, stole the show, and some of the things surrounding that, but there were other things. Let me wait. You know, I'd rather
all
not...
All right, good. Yeah,
I'd rather not play those cards
until
I need them.
I see what Buzz is saying.
Uh-huh.
Buzz could easily be the topic of friendly ridicule.
Yes.
Right?
He certainly knows that that's possible.
Mm-hmm. Or Mike could be the subject of friendly ridicule.
Yes.
Both will be.
No, wait a minute. I'll stop right there.
Yeah.
How could I be the subject of Philly? No.
Well, not
I
ridicule.
Understand. I know. Not ridicule.
I wouldn't say.
Well, with you, I... Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lovely day.
It was.
Thank you for your hospitality.
Yes.
You're very welcome.
It was kind of nice to... It's been a while since we've all gotten together off campus. It was very nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Too long, really.
Do you want to get... I mean, it's hard. We're all kind of chomping, aren't we, to get to it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'll save the rest. Because I did want to tell you about some weekend stuff.
Right.
But let's just get to the poker game.
Okay.
Because this is...
Like we need to clear some things up.
Well, from my standpoint, no. I enjoyed myself.
Uh-huh.
Had you guys over.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to sound like a faggot, but ain't my house clean? Yeah.
It's immaculate.
Lovely. Ain't it clean?
Really is.
And
it is immaculate.
You should have seen me like I was on Brokeback Mountain on Saturday morning,
mm-hmm.
making sure that everything in its place and every place has its little thing, mm-hmm. and that there was plates and that the lights were correct.
You know, the dog barriers were all up in the right spot. It was
the perfect host.
It was really, spick and span.
And all of that, incidentally, all of that beauty was erased 15 minutes after you guys left.
Oh, really?
Did you happen to go through the thunderstorm?
Yes.
Oh, yes, very much so, yeah.
My dog, Colonel Kling, the German Shepherd...
Doesn't like storms.
...left me just an incredible indoor dog-made, I don't want to say man-made, but dog-made pond.
Right. Of poo?
Yes.
if it was frozen, but it was the bad, it was the...
melted fudgesicle?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, the worst.
Really, you could have frozen it, it would have been black ice.
Yeah.
He just, he as good as he was when you guys were over, he went out of his mind.
He, you know, he's, I can see where he's a sensitive dog. He's a very smart dog, and he's a very communicative dog. So I can see where he'd get a little wigged out.
It wasn't,
you know, it's...
It wasn't clank.
When you guys left on Saturday night, the temperature was like 65 degrees, and all of a sudden, it was like thundering and lightning. And of course, it was unpredicted by any of the tools on weather.
When it opened up, it was the kind of rain where even if you're going on a 25-mile-an-hour road, you have to almost stop because you just can't see.
Do you remember the joke that I made when I left and I said, I'm gonna hit a deer?
Uh-huh.
I didn't hit a deer. I almost hit a Chinese lady. Do you know that when you're coming down Hunter Mill Road past the access road, where all the Chinese people live. And they've got a light that says, you see
by
two
Chinatown?
Signs, you see two signs that say access road, mm-hmm. and then there's a light with a right turn arrow.
That's very confusing because people think that they're going to make a right-hand turn there to go to the Dulles Airport, and the road doesn't lead there.
And what I did was I just thought that road was incidental, and I was focused on what I believed was the ramp to the access road, and it was the ramp, but I ran basically right through that light.
Oh.
And I was at fault. And the lady pulled out from that other road. That it's so confusing.
You didn't see the rickshaw?
I didn't see it. But she stopped, and I stopped. And then it was just a moment where she was looking at me going,
oh.
And it was raining, and it was just a pain.
Yeah.
Looked like that lady on Mad TV.
Looked like Bobby Lee.
She was. But, I mean, that is one of the most confusing turns I've ever encountered. Because you don't know. You know, I should have known that road was there, and it was just insane. It was crazy.
It rained. You left earlier than everybody else did.
A little.
I did. Yeah, you know you did.
Well, I was out. I was done.
Uh-huh.
I was done gambling for the day.
Tapped out.
I was completely tapped out.
Tapped out. Okay.
Did we? Did Rob calculate how much everybody won and lost?
Here's what we're going to do right now. This is the easiest way to handle this. Go around the room. Have everybody please be as honest as you can to the best of your recollection.
Right.
Okay, we'll start with me. I lost $20. Lost 20.
Okay.
That I'm positive of,
mm-hmm.
because I got 80 out, I cashed in three times, and one time I was up so much I even cashed some chips for Joe, mm-hmm. so we wouldn't have to go to the bank.
I lost
$20.
Mm-hmm.
I thought when I left I had won $107, but I did my laundry and I found $40 more. So I'm plus $147.
Buzz.
I lost $66.
Mike.
I think I lost about $80. Or $85. Does that sound right to you, Rob?
Looking about right.
Yeah.
And John.
This is John.
John, how much did you win or lose?
I won $75.
Mm-hmm.
Joe.
I lost like 42.
Okay.
All right, do the math there, Robbie. Do the math. Let's see how much of this works out. Joe, I would have bet that you were a winner.
No, I was up, and then it just all fell apart.
What do you got there, Brains?
You know what? That $40 I found in my pocket was not winnings, because then I did win $107. And if John won $75, everyone else's losses add up to that. Roughly, within a few bucks.
So that tells me that I lost the most money of anyone. Even when I was the blackjack dealer.
That's where I killed you.
And that is what pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimately.
No, hold on. Guys, we'll call you back in a second.
Okay.
No, what legitimately pissed you off at first was Buzz.
Well, you know, yes, because I thought
really
that won. I thought that after the last few times we'd played poker, that he would have brought more knowledge to the game.
No.
And, you know, I don't know from a percentage standpoint.
Hold on. Were you answering it?
Yeah, just matter-of-factly, no. As a matter of fact,
no,
I did
there,
not
there
bring
is
more
so,
knowledge to the
I
game.
Mean, you know, and it's not, it's fun. We do it for fun,
right.
So it's not like
sure
it's a homework assignment.
Right.
But Jesus Christ, it was killing me because he was winning. and he didn't know how to bet, and he was winning.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of hands. Buzz, who ended up losing all of his money, there were quite a few hands where Buzz was up in front.
I had two winning hands. One of them I stupidly and mistakenly put down on the table and showed my cards before it was time to, because I don't know how to play.
Okay, now here's... let me just play the role.
Didn't somebody give you a book or something?
I don't. You know, I think I threw all that stuff out recently.
Didn't you say you practiced?
Thinking I practiced an online game this past week of Texas Hold'em.
Now that's
but
the game we were
there were still aspects of that I didn't figure out and could never really get a straight answer.
Your shuffling and dealing was improved.
Yes.
Your play had regressed.
Your math skills are horrendous. Now,
yes.
Rob, what game were we playing? Because I can set this up perfectly. Mm-hmm. As a neutral observer of both Mike and Buzz, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What was the game?
I think the game you're talking about is five-card draw.
So everybody had gotten their cards.
Right.
Correct?
True.
And at that point, you're waiting to bet.
Right.
And what happens is, Buzz has a fantastic hand. He got straight, like an ace high straight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that the rotation, if it was that it was Buzz's turn to either check or bet or up the ante.
Right.
We had, it's very simple. It was as simple as it gets. We had a game where the maximum wager was $5.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anybody who plays cards knows that you can... not bet, which is check,
uh-huh.
You can fold, or you can raise up to $5.
So
it's that easy. It didn't need to be checked every single time we came to you.
Okay, but after Buzz kept checking and checking,
yes.
The one time we were going around, like it goes to Mike, and Mike says check.
Or I'm out, which yeah. I said an awful lot.
Joe would say, I'm in, mm-hmm. Put in a dollar. I said, I'm in. Buzz said, here. And laid all of his cards down on the table. Now, you had a nice straight.
Yeah. A beautiful straight.
At that point, you looked very pleased with yourself. I looked to my right, and I saw Mike, and I saw his face get red. And here's exactly what Mike said. Mike's been in Las Vegas gambling. Mike says, everybody turn your effing cards in. I hit the button. I hit the button myself. Mike says, this effing game
mm-hmm.
has been tainted.
Right.
Everybody.
We should have.
I'm sorry, I dropped the F-bomb because mm-hmm. what Mike, I mean, it just,
right.
You were so mad, mm-hmm. so like professional.
How do you think I felt throwing away that hand?
Well, I wasn't mad because he was going to win. I mean, I was mad because I wanted him to win because Rob was at that point heated up, and I wanted somebody to take Rob down because Rob had most of the chips at that point, and mm-hmm. so... Buzz had a winning hand, but it was just, you know, by showing his cards,
mm-hmm.
right,
the game was over at that point.
I got so mad. I'm like, everybody, put your cards in. This entire effing hand is tainted. And that's the first time. And let me quote you. You look him right down. You said, nice going, Buzz.
You could feel the love in the room at that point.
Well, Rob was... The other thing about the game that I didn't mention is that there should be, like, fillets of me frozen in Rob's freezer. Because
yeah.
I was Rob's fish all day long. Swear to God. And Rob had... You had all the cards.
Yeah, I'm a good card player. There's a lot of things I stuck at.
Amazingly lucky.
But a lot of cards came my way.
He tells you it's skill.
Yeah. Mad skills.
So,
no, he knows how to Rob more than anybody else at that table. And I don't know whether you guys were aware of this.
Sure.
But I tell you, Rob is a guy that could go out and play with some big guys. He knows you never know what his cards
are.
So you never know.
Here's the group of guys we have. Everybody from the show. It's me and Mike.
That's
Buzz,
from my theater training.
Me and Mike. And
theater arts.
And Buzz and Rob and John
right.
and Joe. So we play poker for a couple of hours. We eat. We're all drinking, having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
We switch to blackjack. Now, this is great because Freddie got me the thing that goes on top of the poker table
right.
to make it into a blackjack
We're
table.
Not a lot of poker players, so we all probably looked at that as a chance to, you know, shake things up, play an easier game, and have a little more fun.
We got
and
to shoot for the cards.
Just like Vegas. I mean, it is really cool. It's a semicircle, and you have the dealer's shoe that holds two or three decks.
It's fun.
Fun.
So Mike is the dealer because he's going to be the house chance to earn back some money. Now,
so I thought... Well, the odds were very much in my favor from that
yep.
standpoint.
Here's where the spotlight would again fall on Buzz.
All right.
All right, he says. Well, I think, Buzz, if you get it from me, you're probably going to get it with less venom.
I understand. No,
than you would from your peers.
As long as I can respond, you know, give me everything you got.
For instance, Mike's dealing and says, 10 to Rob, 8 to Buzz, boom, 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 comes back, says to Rob, a 10, of course. Rob with 19.
Uh-huh. Rob had probably like 8 19s in a row.
Mike's got the commentary going. It's like, I've got a $5 bet out there, and I get a face card.
Did I do a good job as the dealer?
Yes.
Fantastic. Good. Mike would say to me, I had, of course, look, oh, there's a face card. Big winner. You know, like you would get mad when other people would win.
Right, right.
Now, here's the thing where Buzz would have a problem. There would be a 9 and a 3. I know you're not this stupid, but this is the perception.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's had the... You were the second guy to have his hand dealt.
Right.
So five other guys are looking at their cards and deciding whether they're going to take a hit or not. The look on your face indicates you're still trying to count to get to 12. And at one point, you actually said, how many do I need to have?
No, I ask how many points is a face card, because I, again, do not know the rules.
Okay.
I do not play the game. I do not know the game.
Points?
And you guys knew that going in.
How many points is a face card?
Exactly.
That's the one. Thank you, Buzz, for being honest.
As a game.
That to our attention.
Here's another one.
I can, you know, I mean, I have certain skills and abilities myself. This is not one of them.
Now, here's one where Buzz could have had egg on his face. It worked out for him. Going around, Rob.
How many points is a face card?
Yeah, well, duh. If you've never played the game, if you don't play
how
the game.
How can you be an American and be raised in this country and not know that a face card is
10?
I think I knew that when I was 5 years old.
Good for you, because I didn't. I never played the game. I still don't play the game.
Not the game. Just cards.
It doesn't matter.
Cards.
I don't play cards.
We've played together in Vegas, Buzz.
I disagree. I mean, I was
never
there.
Never with
sat at a table before.
Never with face cards.
Oh, that you was the I... no face card blackjack table.
Now listen, hold on. Here's the thing about
it. I played at somebody else's urging in that situation, and I got lucky because it was not called upon to know stuff.
Mike's dealing, and Buzz gets a 10 of clubs,
right?
And then his second card, also face up, is like the 8 of spades.
Right.
So Buzz has got 18. Mike doesn't even give it a second thought. Like, okay, you're gonna stay on that. He moves the show. Buzz stops and says, hit me.
I don't recall that happening.
Well, no, you went back. You said
I got hit once too quickly. I asked for a hit once on 17, which I know is risky, but I felt lucky at that moment. I was wrong.
No, you got a hit on 18. I mean, you took a hit on 18.
I don't recall that.
Well,
maybe.
Okay, like I said, I'm trying to be partial. Maybe
well,
I'm
the
wrong.
The long and short of it is that...
What is the hand that he took a hit on that nobody...
It wasn't that he took the hit on it. It's that he was thinking about it.
For a long time.
When you're me in that situation,
hold on.
There's no way you can win. You either take the time to think it through, you ask somebody, which annoys somebody.
Buzz.
So every possible thing I could do was going to annoy somebody to some degree.
Let's say the number was 17, not 18.
All right.
And
no, but the he didn't take a hit, but he thought about it.
Yeah.
That's the thing that was
disappointing.
And because I play a lot of blackjack and I played a lot of cards, it's like there's certain hands where you know if you're 18 and above, it's kind of automatic. And I think that's where my frustration was. That's what happened. He didn't take the hit on 18. He didn't. What he did was he thought about taking the hit on 18, drove me nuts more.
What about the time when there was? He had some ridiculously high, I want to say either 18 or 19, and he said, hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember looking at you, Mike, like, Buzz is retarded. And you laid down something like a 2. And then Buzz said something like, I had a feeling.
Well,
don't you remember that hand?
Yeah, vaguely, yeah. Well, you know what? The bottom line is, I was the dealer. And I was in a very advantageous position because I thought, hey, this is a way to get some of my money back. And like in the great tradition of my luck all weekend, anything I touched turned to, well, what your dog left on the floor. Because that was my luck. And really, I just got housed. And the one thing when you're the dealer, you have to bankroll the whole game. And
It happened very, very quickly, and it was about 7 p.m., and that's when I said, enough of this crap, and I muttered to myself and went away, and it was nuts. It drove me
insane.
We
all laughed heartily as you left saying, so long, effers.
I was not happy, and I really wasn't happy. I was angry all the way home, believe it or not.
Wow.
I was, because I would have liked to win something.
Sure.
Even like a hand would have been nice.
I knew when you were mad because when you left and you left us all down there and there was a pause and we heard, where's my coat?
Spoiling the end.
Yeah, I was so, yeah, and my coat was just like on the back of a chair.
You know, but you were happy when you threw your poker chips in the air.
Yes, I was. Yes. I did win one hand.
You won a hand.
I won one hand, right?
Do you want to know who else wants to win a hand?
I'm not the beautiful lady from Chicago.
He's the lady to win a hand. Sure. Now, Buzz?
Yes.
In retort,
uh-huh.
To give the opposite side,
right,
the opposing view.
I'm not quite done with Buzz yet.
Let me just say this part, though. I love hanging out with you guys. I think this is a great idea, getting together. We always have a great time.
But you hate
no
playing
question
cards.
About it. I am not a card player.
But you hate it.
I don't like it. I don't have an aptitude for it.
You don't have
I
any desire
to care.
To teach yourself the game either.
I looked at it some time ago, but here's what happened. We stopped playing for a while, and I thought, ha, I'll never need this again. So I burned my poker books.
I just think that it's, you know, I don't know. Maybe Buzz comes to the poker games and, you know, we put on a movie for him.
I will serve drinks and empty ashtrays.
All right. Would that be satisfactory?
That would be great.
Would you rather we play Parcheesi or Yahtzee or Chinese checkers?
He
or?
Likes the camaraderie, likes hanging out, and he comes over and he hangs out.
Here's the thing. I was rooting for
I
you.
I like that
today.
Idea.
Buzz, I was
he
rooting.
He still has to buy in, though.
I'll just pay you the $66 in advance.
I was rooting for you personally.
I know.
Professionally.
I know.
And here's why.
I know.
Sitting directly to my right,
uh-huh.
I had, like, the world's biggest kick-me sign, Joe Ardinger.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, God, I'm sitting next to Joe.
Uh-huh.
Joe, who's just pounding the Miller Lite like there's no tomorrow.
Attaboy.
There's no way that mm-hmm. Buzz is going to get the most criticism because I'm right. sitting next to slow Joe.
Yeah, now Joe was invisible during the game. He played the game very well.
He knows how to play.
And he won a hand. He beat Rob. He took you down. Didn't he at one point, Rob? Or?
Yeah. He had a couple real sneaky wins.
Yeah, really? Good poker player.
Yep.
Very good poker player. But it was that's the solution, I think. That when we all get together.
Not to have Buzz play?
To have him come over.
To have him serve us drinks?
He said, you're being serious, right?
I kind of, yeah. I mean, I enjoyed playing, but really, yeah. I mess things up. I make you guys angry. I feel pressured and watched.
Would you wear like a maitre d' suit?
Sure, absolutely. Tux, whatever. I have a tux, I wear a tux.
And that frees up one chair for someone else.
Oh. Okay, when we play at your house, you can invite Robert Mailman over.
Why do you naturally think of him? That's not what I was talking about.
Who would you put in the chair?
Who would you have in mind then?
Anyone with lots of money. I was thinking Travis might be an easy
choice. No, you were thinking Robert Mailman. You were thinking Robert Mailman.
Okay, maybe I was.
That's what you were thinking.
Well, I only had one thought as I was driving away, is I want a chance to redeem myself again. I really do. I want to play again. I want to play again.
You swore up and down you'd never do it again.
No, I'm playing again, goddammit. And I'm going to bet football again.
Okay, all right.
What an S weekend. Honest to God. What a crap weekend. I mean, just anything I looked at, really, anything that required any kind of luck was just, you know, when I bet on the football game, I was filled with dread.
Why don't we save that for the next break?
Yeah.
Because that's a whole new experience, right? The online betting?
The online betting didn't work out, but then a bet found me.
Huh.
Hey. It was my I call it my Super Bowl morning miracle.
Okay. Wow.
All right.
It didn't work out as well as I thought it would. Matt Hasseltard.
And you chew on this from a personal standpoint. Do you think it means anything that the same lady that came to see me before during a Steelers game came over yesterday to watch the game with me to have some nice companionship, you know, and everything that goes along with, and I had a nice time with her. I let her bring her dog over.
Uh-huh.
Because she's like, I'll be there like from 3 o'clock till 10 o'clock.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that was too much on my part?
No.
No.
You sure?
Just means the first time went well.
This is a person.
You sure?
I don't think in any way that is giving your... I know what you're saying.
One thing I did not say to her, and I realize that I made the mistake. No, well, not a mistake, but
the first time that I actually saw her, even semi-socially, I like laid down the parameters and the rules about, you know, you're not my girlfriend. We're not going to be seen together. I don't take you to movies. I don't take you to dinner. I don't do anything. When she called me and she
How
said,
involved did the dog get?
Oh, as always, Mike, a total participant.
Full participation.
He was a catcher and a pitcher.
Is your question by letting her bring the dog over, you think you're sending the wrong impression? Well, you're sending the wrong message? No,
she said to me, "Can I bring my dog over?" Mm-hmm. And I said, we both live in the country. Yes. Your dog can just hang out in the backyard with my dogs. It's great. Then you don't have to go home and worry about your dog crapping during the Super Bowl.
Eating and all that.
And then when she actually arrived with the dog, and it was a learning experience for my dogs. They were nervous having another dog in the house and having a girl in the house, even though she'd been there before.
Mm-hmm.
I bit my tongue and did not say to her, "I hope you realize that because I've let you bring your dog over, this in no way is any sign of any commitment from me whatsoever."
You said that?
No, I did not, and I'm happy I did not say that.
Yeah, you know, that would be cruel.
But that was what I was thinking.
And now you've said it on the radio, but is she going to hear this?
I don't know. She listens sometimes, sometimes she doesn't. 50-50
chance.
You know, besides...
She's got tremendously thick skin, I think, for listening to this. I think that's good.
I don't think she is listening. Well, I don't know. See, here's the thing.
The beauty of this.
Jack!
You don't care.
I mean, I care about her as much as I can care about someone at this point in my life.
Right.
But I'm not married.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, you're
I'm out there. I'm getting it done.
I mean,
what the hell? Who cares?
No,
I'm saying the truth. I didn't say to her yesterday when she came over and I saw the dogs are going crazy, I didn't say, I hope you realize that this is not a sign of commitment.
Hmm. No, I think it's a friendly thing, a nice gesture for a nice gesture, if you know what I mean. You know, she comes over, brings the dog over.
No
fuss, no muss.
She's a nice girl. Came and brought food.
Mm-hmm. That's a cool thing.
Brought food. Actually cried when the Steelers won. She's a big Steeler fan.
Oh, wow. Scared me for a second there. I thought you said you were going to say she cried when she left. Then you might have a problem. I wish I could stay.
They always do.
She cried during the lovemaking.
Tears of joy.
How about you?
Tears of pain, Mike. Tears of pain.
That's what it is.
I'm sorry. I'm a monster. I'm a monster from the waist down.
The monster.
I take off my pants and I look like Jerome Bettis.
The monster.
But I mean, only from the waist down. It's like I undo my pants and it's like, hey, there's Jerome Bettis.
Who wants to play with the bus?
Okay. Well, as long as we are all agreed that. Okay.
Well, you know what? It's like anything. You kind of, it seems like you're taking it, you know, we're in the direction you need it to be right now. And what you know, you can't predict the future and you can't predict, you know, what she's thinking.
Baby stepping. Although,
that's right.
I do find her to be rather incredible only in this regard that, like yesterday, when we're trying to get the dog settled down and we're watching the game. And at the same time, now, as I mentioned, the house has got, I've got pictures of Frida freaking everywhere in the house. She's got no problem with me just talking about how much Frida means to me still now today and how much I still love her and, you know, that Frida used to say this or Frida used to do this. And I caught myself saying to her, you know, you probably don't want to hear that all the time.
Right.
You know? And she said, no. I mean, she's totally cool with it.
It seems like, you know, that it's probably good to have a relationship with somebody you can be really honest with. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
No matter how insignificant the relationship is. You know, if it's and I think that's good.
Because I think it's important that she knows it is insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's totally insignificant, and it meant nothing. It meant nothing that you were able to bring your dog over.
Okay, I think it's going to be okay.
It's going to be. I'll tell you one thing.
You're
she
a little
knows.
Worried about that. I mean, did she ask or did you offer?
She asked.
Then no problem.
Right. Okay.
Then you know what you were doing? You were being polite. Is what you were doing.
I'll tell you one thing, and then we'll drop this topic of Miss X.
Okay.
One thing that I do like about her, she knows a face card is worth 10.
Yeah, that is still in my mind.
So important for a person.
That is, you know, it is for certain people.
That works.
There are people who buzz, believe it or not. There are people that make a living playing poker.
Well, I know. I'm aware of that. I'm not one of them.
Did I even tell you also that over the weekend, I know you got your betting stuff to get to. I'm blown away over the weekend when my kid calls me with a DJ's worst nightmare, a DJ father's worst nightmare. I wish for nothing but the best for my son. Mm-hmm. I love him more than life itself. The one thing that I don't wish for him is a career in radio.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's never shown any desire towards that.
Thank God.
Thank God. Well, this past Saturday night, he did his first college radio show.
Uh
oh. Whoa. Yeah, that's
I know.
Did he like it?
That's the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I want to call him and ask him about that as well. We might not have time today. I know, and that's, you know.
If he digs it.
I know, and listen, the apple don't fall far from the tree. I mean, I was chatting with him briefly about
content,
what he had done, and he was being too cool for school because he was with friends. He was like, Dad, I'll tell you later. I said, but I said, Bart, listen, you've got to know more about radio than any of the schmucks running that college radio station, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so, Dad, but I'll tell you about it later. Just at some point, I'm going to have to call him and find out if this is just a passing fancy, a dalliance, or if, you know, God forbid, don't do what I did. Jesus Christ, don't get into this business.
I think that he's a very smart guy who can see through BS. But I think maybe one of the strategies would be, if you really don't want him to pursue a career, to act as enthusiastic as you possibly can. But he already knows
I'm acting this way to get you act this way. And I think, besides, I think he's just doing it just to do it. You know, he wants to see what it's like.
There's no moment as exciting as their first FCC fine.
Is there any part of you that kind of digs it, though?
No.
You don't think it's kind of cool?
No, I swear to God, I know everybody thinks their kids are great. Mm-hmm. I think Bart is so incredibly talented and so smart. He's so much better than doing this.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to be a loser like me. And I use myself, not anybody else. But I mean,
no, I'm with you.
You know what I mean? We all feel the same way.
There's not a day that goes by that I just don't say, you know, maybe I should, if I just paid more attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, we are successful, but hey, you know, we're DJs.
Yeah,
it's frankly, radio, man.
I wish for him a better life.
Yeah, we all do. We all do. Godspeed.
I do. I mean, you know, he doesn't need to be hiding in a closet in Detroit while Big Jim Ryan and Bill Garcia watch him make love to a prostitute midget for $50. Right? He doesn't need those memories that I have.
I know.
He doesn't need to be locked out in the airtight entry center of a radio station for 4 hours by some jerk disc jockey named Larry Lujack.
Saying, call me Super Jock.
He doesn't need that. He doesn't need that.
No.
He doesn't need going to the K-Rock F-Truck, having sex with girls after he's done with his radio show when he's 16. Well, thank God he's not even 16. He's almost 21.
Right. See, but some of the stories you're telling were wonderful experiences.
Yes, they were.
Yes, but Mike, well, for goodness sakes, let me just throw in on the flip side. Ed Frieda was here for all of that. How about bankruptcy? In there.
Yes.
Yeah. Say, have you ever lived through the thrill of having a car repossessed? I've had it done 3 times. And you know,
wish better for your son.
You know, the worst one is when you know they're coming for you.
Yeah, and you're trying to duck them.
Because they've called the radio station to tell you haven't made your last 3 payments. And you go, really? I'm really going to be down there tomorrow morning. And then you know tonight when you hear that. Where are the keys to that Celica? Yeah.
The song get you parked 6 blocks away.
I been evicted.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, had, creditors running after me for years.
Slept on
years.
The floor with no furniture.
That's right. Ate Pop-Tarts, banged all kinds of pigs in hotels.
Rode your bicycle to work.
Rode my bicycle to work. Sure. I don't wish that for Bart.
No.
I want him to, be a gynecologist.
Well, maybe this is just a lark. Maybe he's not serious about it.
I don't know. Well, we can talk about it with him.
You want my son the doctor. That's what you want. Right. My son the doctor.
I spent 2 months in prison in Venezuela.
Oh, yeah.
When I was doing that internship thing.
I never got over.
Stowed away on a merchant marine ship.
Listen, as long as you're being totally
down
honest.
Down for Liberia.
Listen, seriously, mm-hmm. folks, if I would not have gotten into radio, I would not have herpes today.
That's true.
No, I don't wish that for my son.
Yes, two pills is a hassle.
You know, maybe, screw it. We'll call him tomorrow. We're running too late now, and I do want to hear about you betting on the Seahawks.
Yeah. My
betting online on the Seahawks.
You know what? I do a lot of the stuff in Atlantic City and Las Vegas. I have never gotten involved on a serious level with the, you know, wagering on a game.
And Rob, yeah, let me ask you something.
Yeah, Don.
Like in this hour of the show, we got to follow up with the locker room, right?
Oh, sure, you're going to call Mayor Westcott.
Oh, Mayor Westcott.
Oh, yeah.
He's the mayor of Steeler.
Yeah.
Steeler, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, with the winning team.
Yeah, that's good. Maybe he paid the referees in
all
yesterday's
game. All for Big Ben. All for Hines Ward.
All for Seattle, the choking dogs.
All for Holmgren, your big mitts on the sidelines, yeah.
All for who's that tight end for the Seahawks?
Jeremy Stevens.
All for pussy.
Oh, Holmgren, baby at your breast. Wonder how you manage to feed the rest. Okay, that's coming up.
Yay.
That's a stellar bit.
What a great game.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show. Now, Mike, we never play Bobby Sherman, but I'm playing this for you, man, because you like to bet.
I do.
You're not quite a degenerate gambler yet, but you got hope. Easy come, easy go. So what happened?
All right. I was not really interested in either one of these teams all season. I'm not a Seattle fan. I'm not a Pittsburgh fan. And so this Super Bowl for me, like some have been in the past, it's just not doing it for me, but I love, you know,
easy come, easy go.
I love football, and I want to get in there. I want to have a better time watching the game. I want to be more entertained, and I figure the best way to be entertained is to have a legitimate rooting interest. And this is the first Super Bowl where I really think the only way I'm going to have that interest is if I have something riding on the game. So, for the very, very first time, I decided that I was going to try to bet on the Super Bowl, and got up, was actually thinking about it a lot over the weekend, was thinking about it, you know, when I went to bed on Saturday night.
You mentioned it when we were playing cards on
Saturday. Really kind of into it, you know, mm-hmm. It was my first foray into this. So the first thing I do, I meet a guy that tells me, you know, a website where you can go and do this kind of thing. And so I get up on Sunday morning. As soon as I get up, the first thing I do is I roll into the computer, and I decide I'm going to check out this this website that he gives me. So I do everything you're supposed to do. I'm a little, you know, and the fact is, I've seen the 60 Minutes, I've seen Dateline, I've seen these shows where I know this is a little shady, right? This is a little bit difficult to do. But nonetheless, I know millions of people do it, and I decide that I'm going to fill out all their little forms and log on and get an account and do all this. And I it took me a little while to do this, and then we get to the part where you got to put your credit card in there, and you have to call this number. So I call this number, and I get this guy that's like, "Hello? Hi, mate. Hey, it's right. G'day, mate." You know, I got Steve Irwin like on the other night. "Oh, that's it. Hello." And he right away, he says, "Hello, Mike." You know, because he's got my information there, you know.
Right.
"Well, Mike, let me tell you, you know, like the Aussie guys kind of throw the name at you, you know. Mike, here's the way it works, Mike. We're going to do this, Mike, and we're going to try it, Mike. Now, Mike, I'm having a little trouble getting that credit card through there, Mike. But, you know, I like Seattle's a good bet. I think it's not a bad bet, Mike. Let me see what I can do. Mike, it's not allowing me." And what's happening, as I find out later, is the credit card company, my good, wonderful, right. respectable credit card company, is not allowing the transaction to happen.
Why?
Because they don't. It's part of their security. They don't allow you to use your credit card for this type of a purpose.
Or that
and as a
well,
matter of fact...
You've got to rip that card in half.
But
I mean, what the hell good is a Discover card?
Well, the thing is, it goes... what is, you know, what is the pleasure of having a secured MasterCard if you can't use it
right.
With a $500 limit? He walks me through this, and when he can't get my credit card to work, he says, all right, now there are ways around this. By the time he gets done explaining to me what I would have had to do, you know, involving like Western Union and all this, and a nice $68 fee on top of the wager that I want.
Yeah, they find a bookie in that.
I said, you know, to hell with this. And as I walk away, I'm kind of muttering, and Carlos says, well, why don't we use your buddy down in Florida, you know, that guy that talks about that all the time. I'm like,
that guy.
I don't know his number, and, you know, I know where he works, but I it's a Sunday. I don't think I can hunt him down. And that was that. And I'm bummed because I'm like, okay, well, it's going to be the same old, just no interest in whichever team wins. You know, if it's a great game, I might dig it, but really, no. And I want to watch every play like I would watch a Red Sox game. I want to feel that kind of passion for it. Phone rings 20 minutes later, and on the other end is this guy,
the guy
who's dialed a wrong number, and he goes, and he says something like right out of the chute. It's like, Mark, listen, I got Jerome Bettis for you, but the spread is. I'm like, hello. Hello? And he says, who's this? Is this Mike O'Mara? He says, Mike? Oh, how you doing? I said, oh, I'm sorry. Hey, I really...
It's Johnny Broknose. What's happening?
I'm really, really sorry I bother you. Sorry. It's obviously, you can appreciate it's a busy day. Sorry to bother you. And I say to him, well, you know what? Maybe you haven't really bothered me.
Hanging around.
Maybe it's actually fortuitous that you called. And, maybe I'd like to bet on Seattle. Just to, you know, Seattle with the point spread, like to do that. And he takes my wager, and I wager $50,000.
Easy go. Oh, 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 oh.
And as soon as he takes this bet...
Would you write down how much it was?
Yeah, yes, I will.
So I wonder how come no stations play this song anymore, huh? The good sounds of Bobby Sherman. That's not a lot. But
wanted to.
It's a lot.
Ouch, man.
You wanted to. Well, okay, what did you want to bet?
I didn't.
Of course.
I was embarrassed with him even. I didn't. Because he said, well, how much do you want to bet? And I said, I want to bet. And then I said the other number. I don't know why.
So you said the smaller number.
Yeah.
You wanted to
I'm not sure why I did, but it, you know, as it turned out. Good. With my incredible luck of the weekend.
And the luck of the Irish. The luck of the Irish following me all over the weekend. There.
And as soon as I got off the phone with the guy, I'm jacked. I wasn't going to go out to the game. We were going to stay home and watch the game, kind of vegging out, and I really wasn't. As soon as I get off the phone and I know that I've made the wager, I jump into the shower. I say, Carlo, we're going to the restaurant. Come on, it's going to be great. We're going to go there, you know. And I mean, thoughts like run through my head, like, man, is there, could I maybe run by the mall to buy like a Seattle t-shirt or something like this, you know?
Easy come,
yeah, baby.
Easy go.
And everybody's telling me that's a good bet. Mikey, that's a good bet.
Well, I was telling you the same thing on Friday.
Well, I asked you.
Me and every other ass in the world.
Well, you know what? It was a weird game, and it was a depressing game. But I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
Here's the question: how does the bookie or the go-between in Florida? How does he get the money now?
Don't know.
Maybe he doesn't.
Or maybe.
Oh, no, he does. I will definitely see him. And
maybe
I,
there'll be a man in the parking lot tonight.
No, not that kind of guy. I think I will. I said that when I'm down there, we will settle up. I said that's when we will.
Let me just ask you about this guy.
Yeah.
I know you don't. Can I just ask, is he a friend of ours?
No. Oh, of course not.
Is he a friend of theirs?
Don?
Yes,
ma'am. I am not particularly comfortable with this line of questioning.
I understand.
I'm feeling very, very put upon at this moment. But it was left, when I got off the phone, it was left very friendly-like.
I feel the same way whenever I talk to the Gotties. I always, you know, someone will walk in and say, who are you on the phone with? Oops, wrong number. And, you know, invariably say, what, are you ashamed to be talking to a Gotti?
You know, I have a lot of friends, and I think that he's as nice a man as any one of my friends. He is as nice a man.
You better get him that money right away, or you're going to be on a real fast weight loss plan. He just cuts off one of your legs.
He is a kind man. And because I was able to make this wager, I was told on two separate occasions by Carla that perhaps my liberal use of the F word should be toned down just a notch.
You are a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Nice to know you in Florida. I will need that money, Western Union. Oh, yes, they don't Western Union money anymore.
Yeah, they do money.
You know, I hope, I really...
That's what they do now instead of telegrams, right? Yeah, you might have to Western Union him the money.
Now, the way he explained it to me was that I will see him in March, and I will be able to take care of it at that. Excuse me, a little something came up from breakfast.
Stephen, now, you wouldn't have accepted that if you had won, would you? Would you have waited until March for your money?
Yeah, that was the understanding that we had.
Oh, okay.
I would have. However, I will tell you that I would have probably been more curious if I had won about how the transaction works. Now I'm like, whatever. But I do. But
and
you know
what? Would you probably say to Carla, when we go to Florida, if we see him, we see him.
No, of course not. No,
we don't.
No, I plan on. It was kind of exciting, and it was very, very, very easy.
No, I know this about you. You don't like Welch's Grape Aid. You're not a Welcher.
No.
I mean, you pay up.
Well, I mean, yeah, and he was nice to do that.
And he's mobbed up, so God, you better.
And then
Jesus
you got
Christ.
He's a good guy.
You'd be like Casino with De Niro getting into that car. Kaboom!
And then
and the funny thing is, if he gets wind of this discussion, I don't think he's going to be angry.
You don't?
No.
Good.
No, I don't think he'll be angry
at all.
You worry
too much about people getting wind of discussions.
This particular one, that's all right. You've never met this guy.
Have you put together a good disguise yet?
Huh?
A good disguise.
Yeah.
A good disguise.
Actually, what it is when you call my house from now on and I answer the phone, Rob, I'm going to say, hello, is Rob. Hi, Don. It is Mike. I've got a special thing on my voice that's disguising my voice.
That reminds me, did anybody watch the Dateline thing Friday night?
The what about the pedophiles?
The Predators 3?
Yeah, I did watch it.
Oh, I mean... on one hand, it's disgusting, but on the other hand, if they made that into a weekly show,
they could.
I swear to God, I'd watch it.
Yeah,
because they had not only do they have the kid touchers like showing up, but like guy who looks like the comic book shop owner on The Simpsons,
the old guy,
comes in with his
California T-shirt.
Yeah, he's got his like bag of wine. Guy seriously is 65.
Right,
big fat. In a plastic 7-Eleven bag, he's got a
and totally unfazed.
A bottle of wine. He's there to screw a 13-year-old boy in his mind, who he's been talking to on the computer. When actually it's been the cops in Dateline.
Right.
The guy comes to the back door. He's like, "Hello, Sonny." And then you hear the cop in the back. The cop, the woman who can talk like a boy, go.
She's amazing. Is she scary?
She's great.
She is really scary. She does young girls, young boys. She imitates the boys.
I'll be right there. Did you bring the wine?
Why, yes, I did. And then when the old fat guy sits down, the Dateline reporter comes out. And these guys are all so fast with the BS.
Well, they all had different excuses.
The guy comes out and says, "What are you doing here?" And he says, I'm here to buy this house. I was talking about a real estate proposition with somebody online." Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, then the reporter says,
this transcript of your online conversation says.
I have the transcript that says, "I would love to kiss every inch of your supple, hairless body." And what's great about it this time is, they would show the guys, then once they figure out the cameras come out, the guys would put their shirts over their heads, and they would go running out the door, and then right outside.
The difference between
was
this one,
the cops.
They busted them, and it was fantastic. How about the the guys that would try to deny it? "Oh, I'm just here, to help this person out." "Oh, I guess that's why you emailed a picture of your thing over the internet." And a lot of them did that.
What about the guy with the turban?
Oh my God!
The guy with the turban,
right?
Who said, "I have not done anything wrong.
Yep.
I simply talked about it. I can think anything I want. I have done nothing." And then it was great as he was leaving to
to see him, you know, hands behind your back.
Yeah, they got them all. And, yep. You know, the frustrating thing about the last time they ran that show is that these guys would walk away and you'd never hear from them again. Yep. Yeah, they got them on camera, but they didn't bust them.
Nah, they got them.
And, you know, just
this time they did.
Oh, fantastic.
If you get a chance, pretty good view. They rerun it like on MSNBC.
Fantastic. And I think you'll agree, a little terrifying also. Yeah. That volume of those guys, that it was so easy to get these guys, and even guys that had seen the last time they did it on network TV,
right?
And they still go to these houses. It just blew me
away.
Didn't
think they'd get caught.
Yeah, they had one guy, and they said to the guy, "Did you see our report?" "Yes, I did."
Unbelievable.
"And you still showed up?" "Yes, I did." And one guy said, "Did you see the police car outside?" "Yes, I did."
Yeah.
"And you still came in?" "Yes, I did."
Yeah. Incredible.
"Please don't tell my family."
And that reporter gets all the credit in the world, because that guy has huge balls.
He's got some balls.
Amazing.
He's got some balls. Let's call back now and talk to someone who was featured on that show.
Oh, really?
on Friday night.
John.
Hi, John.
Hi.
You know what, John? It's the haircut. That's what makes you look that way.
Thanks.
John, here's a quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Our Granny show, which we'd like to do on Wednesday, not to be confused with the Grammys, have any of the listeners emailing grasped the contest yet?
No. Since the Granny porn, I've got exactly nothing.
Okay, well, maybe we won't do it then. Thank you.
Welcome.
Bye-bye. Again, what we're looking to do on Wednesday is have a Grammys.
Right.
Except call it the Grammys.
If your grandmother is someone who is youthful and over the age of 70, but somebody who can participate in our skills, you know, I think maybe...
Yeah, I see fish.
Laying out the skills challenges, you know, and, you know, that might draw more interest in it.
For instance, arm wrestling. Grandma arm wrestling. Oh, then you've got how many sit-ups can a grandma do?
Right.
And then beyond that, it's not so much physical, it's mental.
Right.
It's like, as I mentioned, you get your grandma in here, 30 seconds. How many different euphemisms for intercourse can she write down on a piece of paper?
Mm-hmm.
Very simple stuff.
Yeah.
It's grandma versus grandma. Nothing that would leave scars on these women, either
emotionally or physically.
Physically or emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And just a few physical challenges.
Right. Simple physical
$1,000 prize.
Will there be any traditional competitions that one would associate with ye old grannies? Anything that maybe, like one thing you want to throw in there just for old time's sake?
The 25-yard dash.
The 25-yard dash.
Down the hall.
Very good. Very good.
What we'll do is we will have a...
A timer?
Well, a sundial. Anyway, if you'd like to come down to the station on Wednesday with your grandma, we only need a couple.
Sure.
It's our harmless fun. There'd be no dildos, nothing like that.
No, the grannies.
Just email us.
We'll be
your address at DonandMikeWebsite.com. And if not, screw it. We'll just do the regular crap on Wednesday that we do every day.
Very good.
And we'll ignore the Grammys. I've got a break right now. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Boy, am I down.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between 2 and 6, 1 and 5, noon and 4, check your local listing.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
The cure for your malaise. The Don and Mike Show.
We just get a quick break in here before we follow up with the Steelers locker room. Buzz,
yes.
On your Buzzcast tonight, you will be discussing the hatchet job on the Stones, right?
Absolutely.
With the, okay, yeah. I won't even discuss
definitely
that.
Part, we'll talk about it then.
Good, I got some tape. We'll play what they sang last night, but we'll save that during Buzz's news.
Very cool.
We've covered the Super Bowl. Here's maybe the best news that I heard all weekend.
What's that?
Just because I'm a cynical son of a bitch. I'm glad to hear that Lance Armstrong and Sheryl Crow are breaking up.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know why I am, but I'm with you. And I think for some reason, I think a lot of guys are.
You know, okay, Mr. One Nut, cancer survivor. Good for you, 7-time Tour de France winner.
Mm-hmm.
You did what every guy would do. You got to the top of your profession.
Right.
You dumped the broad that stayed with you when you had your nut cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And you went for the hottest piece of ass singer. And the thing is, they were just so beautifully perfect together.
Yeah, and it was the whole working out thing with her, you know,
and
where she transformed herself because of Lance. And,
they
you know, the interviews, constant interviews with him. You know, what's your regimen? Oh, and then she does the same
she's
thing.
She's cheering him on during
perfect
the Tour de France.
Yeah.
And he's up there on stage with her, and she's got the Live Strong thing on. And
we're all
and
cynical SOBs, but yes, it is fun to feel,
and
you know, schadenfreude for that.
When I was was it Borders? It doesn't matter. Borders or Barnes & Noble. There are at least two different chick magazines where she's wearing a wedding gown.
Yeah,
on the cover.
Oh my God,
yeah,
a little
so
premature.
That's
no. Lance hasn't been the same since he was in that movie.
What movie's that?
Dodgeball.
She left him because she figured out she requires two.
Oh, God.
Anyway, I think most people agree. You know. Screw them. They both.
I know. I don't know why, but they were just too, you know,
even with
perfect.
Even with one nut and having beat cancer,
right.
The guy's just got too much going for him to have that.
That's true. I know. So we're very jealous.
That piece of ass,
mm-hmm.
You know, and she never even settled down with anybody, right? I mean,
right.
Like, that song, My Favorite Mistake, that's about when she banged Eric Clapton, right?
I think so. I mean, wasn't Sheryl Crow, before she became Sheryl Crow, wasn't she known, she was kind of a groupie, wasn't she? Didn't she hang around a lot of bands, a lot of musicians? Wasn't that her?
She toured as a backup singer.
As a backup singer. Okay, so that's not a groupie.
Well, what that means is, yeah, that means that, yeah, she... Cheap.
I knew it wasn't going to last because he's been a little testy lately.
She was on her knees a lot. Mike, I don't know if you know this or not. Oh, God, I got two different... how many Dave Chappelle tapes? Christ. Dave Chappelle was on Oprah. I've got 8,000 tapes of him.
Mm-hmm. Was she attacking him because he wrote a book that was false?
No, he's rehabbing his image. He's telling you why he's not really crazy. Like everybody has said.
Mm-hmm.
But first, Jamie Foxx is going to the Oscars. And when are they? Next month? Is it March or is it now February?
March.
March 2nd,
anyway,
I think.
Jamie Foxx is going to the Oscars. And I read today at E! Exclamation point online that he does not have a date.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamie Foxx only has one requirement. A big ass.
Oh.
Jamie Foxx, here's the quote. I want a woman who's got a big ass. Don't be ashamed if you're thick. I like a thick ass. I like big legs. And how do I say this? Dumps. Dumps is like the posterior.
Uh-huh. So he wants Baby Got Back.
Yeah.
Now.
That's what he's looking for.
Again, let me read you the quote. Jamie Foxx needs a date for the Oscars.
Right.
Not in reality, but he's given this. And he says, don't be ashamed if you're a little thick.
Mm-hmm.
I like a thick ass. I like legs. I like thick legs. How do I say this? Dumps. Dumps is like the posterior.
Ah. Now we know. Who are you calling?
Possible date for Jamie?
Yeah.
Hope they're in.
I hope they're not.
Oh.
I hope she's not. Because she'll just be so mad. But.
Hi, this is Michelle Manti with WJFK.
Stop.
Please leave a message and I'll call you back.
You've misdialed.
You've misdialed.
Wrong number.
You dialed the wrong number. Jesus.
Oh, come on.
You dialed the wrong number.
Come on, guys. Like it's going to be funny if I call Julie? Like, okay, let's call.
Let's see. This is you. What's the South Carolina area code?
This Julie?
See, it doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
Not the same.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Julie.
No,
okay, bye-bye.
You're all right.
Bye, Julie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Why'd you say South Carolina? Are you talking about Bart?
No.
Oh, North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Sorry, I got the wrong Carolina.
The Carolinas.
Yeah, but the signal might go south.
Yeah, hold on a second. That might be. And Michelle, I'm sorry. Yeah. She's pregnant again, right?
Don't look at me.
Well, no.
Yes, she is.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Are you the father, Rom?
No, I'm not.
All right. I just wanted to make sure she's a very nice lady. Mm-hmm. Works. Okay, well, that would explain a lot.
It's number two. Baby number two.
All right, so.
Now, who are you calling now?
Jamie Foxx.
Once baby got back to go to the
Don't
the
be office. Ashamed if you're a little thick.
Right.
I like a thick ass. Like thick legs.
A lot of men do.
And how do I say this? Dumps. Dumps is like the posterior.
Like it?
I've not heard that.
Yeah, let's see.
Hey, this is Beth Ann. Thanks for calling. Leave your name and your number.
Wait, isn't that what you wanted?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay, Dave.
Just having a little fun, folks.
Dave Chappelle and Oprah.
Love is like a nutrient, and I was deficient on vitamin love.
Mm-hmm. Love is like a nutrient, and I was deficient on vitamin love.
And he's so full of crap.
Oh, my God. I was doing sketches that were funny, but socially irresponsible. I felt like I was deliberately being encouraged, and I was overwhelmed. So it's like you're getting flooded with things, and you don't pay attention to things like your ethics. Like this is one sketch we did that was about this pixie that would appear whenever racist things happen, whenever someone make you feel like they calling you that N-word,
uh-huh.
but don't say it. And it was funny, and the premise of the sketch was that every race had this, like, pixie, this, like, racial...
Let me just say, as he just continues to just blah, 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 blah.
Blackface is a very different...
What happened to Dave Chappelle? All I know is that we went through a period of time when his show on regular cable was the funniest friggin' show on TV.
Right.
Then they gave him $50 million, and the next thing we know, he's in Africa, or he's, you know... He's off with Ricky Williams, or he's in a loony bin somewhere.
He's talking about that sketch, and even the description of it is cracking me up. I remember it was a funny deal.
Right. Now he's overthinking it, though.
Yeah, it's the art of comedy.
Right.
He's almost become the whites, rather, the black, skinny Alan King inside the comedy mind.
Right. So now he's saying he was ethical? Is that what he was
saying? That's the thing that I always read that makes me mad. No. Was the fame. Couldn't stand the fame. I love being famous.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. When I came out here and everybody was like, hooray, I was like, ow, back on TV.
Okay, so that's clear. It's not the fame. It's what?
It's the way the people around you position themselves around you to get in your pockets and in your mind.
Yeah.
That it's infuriating.
Okay. Welcome to the real world.
Yeah.
All right, listen.
I mean, I don't care what you do for a living. You're dealing with...
Love is like a nutrient. And I was deficient on vitamin love.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, he could have said this and made just as much sense to Oprah.
What do you think they were looking at that they made him take his pants off?
Anyway, we got a lot of tapes on Dave Chappelle.
Wow. Pull his pants down and tape up his groin.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Susie. We'll get to it tomorrow. Buzz mentioned we're going to talk about the Stones. Oh,
right.
I very rarely have a really good feel-good for you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I got one for you now.
Okay.
Okay. So, there's a company, a corporation called Make-A-Wish.
Yes.
Okay? And you know what they do? They just like for kids, you know, dying kids, want to meet Michael Jordan. Okay.
Grant their wishes.
Let me see. There's a lady named Jessica Hardy, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. She is, was the former head of the Northeast chapter of the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. She got locked up over the weekend.
Okay.
Because, this is awful, over the last 3 years, she's been making up fake kids and making up fake sick kids so she can get money to buy herself nice things.
Oh, wow.
For instance, She made up 6 different kids. Wow. Said they were dying from things like cancer.
Right.
One of them dying from HIV. Forged doctor signatures to document the licenses. Wow. You know, kind of like I did with my high school diploma.
Much more serious.
Then she would go to the foundation, make a wish.
Right.
She would have the fake letters, and they would say, okay, we're gonna make the dreams come true. But the Make-A-Wish wishes were really the wishes of this woman.
And I guess she was getting cash.
Now, not always. For instance, 2 years ago, the sick kid who really wanted to see the Super Bowl game, turns out it wasn't the sick kid that went to the Super Bowl.
It was this chick?
It was her.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And what about the kid that wanted the Disney World vacation?
Yeah.
And wanted to stay at whatever the fabulous, most expensive resort is.
The Grand Floridian.
That was it. What about when a kid called and said, all I really need for my family is a new rec room full of furniture? Well, she went to the Make-A-Wish. She got herself a brand new game room.
Wow.
She also got herself a 48-inch plasma TV.
Oh, my God.
She also got herself 2 hot tubs. She also got 7 guitars, 7 bass guitars. And,
she's evil.
Wow. She's also going to get herself a prison sentence.
All
the now let's play The Price is Right.
Oh.
3 years, 6 kids, make a wish. Do you have that Price is Right music? Where's that great, not the think music, but that other music?
Yeah.
Whatever that edit is that you made.
I don't have it. No, not with me, no.
Okay, good. Good producer.
Not really.
No, I know.
I
know you're not a good. That's why I said it. I mean, don't you always? Isn't that the thing? Like you played it for me even during the commercial set.
Yeah, and you had no interest in it, so I threw it away.
Oh, never throw that stuff away.
How about it's a new Corvette?
You got that one?
Yeah,
that'd work. Okay, I like that for any occasion.
And
it's a new Corvette.
What about new car music?
That's just that music.
Oh, that'll work.
Yeah,
sure, that'll work. Sure. Okay. That would work just great.
It's a Chevy Corvette Coupe, a legendary.
Okay, hold on. New car. New York. New Vegas. New Oldsmobile. New car music. Okay. Mike, what is your guess on the Make-A-Wish Showcase? 3 kids per year, 2 years,
right.
6 kids.
Right.
I told you all the stuff. Mike, what do you value this showcase at?
The actual retail price, Bob, without going over, I'm going to say is $2 million.
Buzz.
I'm going to say $4 million.
You've both gone over the showcase.
Oh, we both overbid.
You've both overbid.
Then she wasn't trying.
$800,000. Hold on. Your bid is $800,000?
$800,000 is my new bid.
Buzz.
I'll say $1 million.
You both have overbid again.
Wow, she really wasn't trying.
I don't know how many times we can play this game. It's between...
It's correct. How much for a face card?
$600,000.
$600,000. She's going to jail for a long time.
Wow. Yeah, she is. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, she is.
Hope bad things happen to her in prison.
She'll be wishing for a key.
Hope she meets like a Nurse Ballbreaker, you know, big bull in prison.
Now she'll grant some wishes.
Yes.
When we come back, it's the guy from Pittsburgh, right? Or the guy from Pennsylvania.
Mayor Westcott.
He used to be known as Washington, Pennsylvania.
Right.
Last week they changed the name of the town to Steeler, Pennsylvania.
Oh, I bet the whole town's like going crazy. Isn't that right, Ace?
Yeah, that's right, Jim. I'm Ace Bondage.
And I'm Jim Shorts.
Now listen, that producer. You got that polka music?
Of
That's our theme song?
That's the Milwaukee polka.
All right, that's what we'll go with, yeah.
Yeah, but listen to the way people talk in Pittsburgh. We just like the funny voices.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
Talk like this a little bit, huh?
I don't do voices. I don't do dialects. I don't...
How much for a king?
How much for a king?
No, I was asking you a question, there, boy.
Yeah.
It's, 10.
10 points.
10 points.
There we go. Now we got it.
10 points for a king.
Let me just add it up with these other cards, and I'll get back to you.
next card game, you're coming, though.
Yeah, I'll be there.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
He's just going to sit on the couch and get loaded while we lose our money.
I'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
At the 43. And of course,
Here comes a gadget play. Randall L. He can throw. He was a quarterback and counted. And he's thrown a touchdown to Hines Ward in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
Very scary, kids. And I'm not kidding you this time. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, well, as everybody knows... Yeah, hey there.
Oh, yeah.
Steelers won.
Yeah, the Steelers.
As we knew they would. And I'm Ace Bondage.
I'm Jim Schartz, and there's the only guy we can call after the big victory who'll be real happy.
The locker room, this will be a quick, like, after-the-game interview.
Find out about their celebrations, then.
With Mayor Ken Westcott, though.
Yeah, he's the mayor of Washington, Pennsylvania, which they changed to Steeler, Pennsylvania last week before the big game in honor of the Steelers. Now they got to be real happy because they won the game.
Right. All for luck.
All for the good luck.
So the little guy, he's going to give us the intro, right?
Absolutely. The guy that's in shape.
The little guy. This guy's ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. Hello?
With a snap of the towel, the Westwood One Radio Network presents The Locker Room with your host, Jim Shorts and Ace Bandage. Now, here's Ace and Jim.
Thank you there. And, hey, what's happening?
Kind of a letdown today, you know, with the big game being over and all.
As you know, welcome to The Locker Room. I'm Ace Bondage.
And I'm Jim Shorts, and once again we're visiting with the mayor of Steeler, Pennsylvania.
Although I think now it's probably been changed back there to Washington, Pennsylvania.
We're still Steelers.
Oh, you're still Steeler. How long are you going to keep the name then?
Well, we're going to try to have a victory party on Friday, so we're going to keep it at least through Friday.
Oh, that's good. So what will you be eating then?
We'll have the same. We'll have the kibasi, the pierogies, you know.
The pierogies.
Yeah, must have been an exciting day, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, it was.
So,
yes, it was.
Tell me something. What were you thinking there when they had the touchdown? That Big Ben carried over and didn't look like it went in the end zone. So what'd you think there, though, huh?
Well, I knew the officials would make the right call there.
So did you have a big party, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, I did. We actually went to a local bar, and about 100 people got together, and we had a good time.
All for the bus. Did I ever tell you about the time that a man came up to me at a bus station? He was not.
I think I heard that story, no.
It was by Mount Washington, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ever been there?
Yeah, nice area, yeah.
So you take the trolley. Yeah,
sure.
You go up there and you look over the beautiful city.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in there, I'm doing my business. And a man came up behind me, yeah, and says, hey, you got a nice looking eye.
Oh, that's bad. All for molestation, then.
I said, hey. I'm Ace Bondage.
And I'm Jim Shorts.
No, I didn't say that part. I just turned around. I said, hey, I'm Ace Bondage, man.
Did he recognize you then?
Who doesn't listen to our show?
You're absolutely right. Not much time
we're
to...
We're not promoting the movie again, are we?
What's that, Mr. Mayor?
We're not promoting the movie again, are we?
What movie would that be?
Brokeback Mountain. We're not
like you
again.
Don't know. You're and right. That's the movie, incidentally, that we are boycotting on our show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't like fags. Thank God the Steelers ain't got no fags.
No need for that stuff, you know.
All the
there.
Fags play for the Seahawks with the girly helmets.
You know what I did during the kitchen, mister? You know what I did during the pregame? I painted my kitchen. Well, what do you think of that?
What color did you paint it?
Kind of an off-white. Nothing fancy, you know. Got a good
not black
deal on
and gold,
it.
Though.
Sherwin-Williams.
Not black and gold.
No Pittsburgh pants, though.
No. It had to remain neutral, you know, doing the show and all.
Very good.
All for black and gold. So, Mayor.
Yes.
Like, are you going to party like it's 1999?
Well, I partied pretty good last night, that's for sure.
How many fire trucks would you have in your town, Mayor?
Well, we have 4 or 5 fire trucks.
4 or 5 fire trucks?
Yes.
Not much time to govern with all the festivities, right?
No, exactly right. Every once in a while we get to sit on the front porch of the Shady Rest Motel and watch the cannonball go by, so...
Have you done your taxes, then?
Yeah, without exactly.
Have you done your taxes, then?
Oh, yes, I have.
All for Uncle Sam.
So absolutely.
Mayor Ken, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Is your job as mayor, is that a full-timer, or do you do it on a part-time basis, then?
My job is part-time pay, but it's a full-time pay in the butt.
Oh, yeah.
All for the bus. Jerome
the bus, exactly right.
How many points for a king in blackjack, Mr. Mayor?
How many? 10 points.
Thanks a lot. Just
that's
checking.
Right. Jerome Bettis. Let's talk about him. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, Jerome Bettis.
Oh, the bus.
Oh, the bus retired yesterday. He's done now. He got his championship. He's done.
Yeah, I guess he's like going up on out on top then, right?
Yes, exactly.
Pretty good deal.
Hey.
Pretty good.
Hey, guesstimate. Let's play a guesstimate game.
Oh, I like it when we do the guesstimate, Ned.
Offer weight.
Okay.
Offer weight. How much does the bus weigh there? Yeah.
250 pounds.
No, don't believe that, man.
I say 248.
I go 275.
I hear he's going into politics then.
Oh, I understand he's going to get, well, that's, you're probably right. He's going to be a commentator now, I believe.
Oh, yeah, that's
that ain't politics there, Mayor.
I checked the almanac.
Well, it's politics and everything in life.
Oh, I checked the almanac on Bettis. He weighs 480.
480?
480, that's, boy, no wonder he gets through the line so good.
480 there. 480.
Rough on the knees then. Wow.
Oh. He might be taking over maybe Kenny Rogers Roaster. Maybe that's what he's going to do, run over Kenny Rogers Roaster or something.
All for the Roonies. Now, did you get the tear in your eye?
Yeah.
When the Roonies got the big Lombardi trophy.
Good family there. Don't you think so, Mr. Mayor?
You got a little choked that we saw Bill Cowher crying, right?
Yeah, he's a big, tough guy, you know, with his
absolutely
big protruding jaw.
I want to tell you something that made me, like, disrespect him a little bit.
He was crying because he was thinking about that contract extension he's going next year.
Well, Ace's father used to slap him around as far as when he'd do the crying then. So he doesn't like the crying. There's no crying in sports. I don't believe in it.
You're right. No sissies in sports.
I tell you, I think Mr. Cowher's daughter's pretty sexy then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going there.
Yeah. If you like the Joker from the Batman.
The Joker from the Batman. Hey, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I got a question for you.
Fire away.
How many fast food joints you got in your city?
Well, quite a few.
Can we run them down? You got Taco Bell.
You got McDonald's.
You got Burger King.
Oh, you got the Hardee's or the Carl's Jr.
Got an Applebee's or a Ruby Tuesday's.
Oh, hey. You got it all.
Oh, you're naming everything. We're big town here.
Oh, can I tell you about a place I went to one time?
Where?
Oh, they had topless waitresses.
Oh, yeah. What was the name of it?
The name of it was Burbanks.
Thank you.
Doesn't that make you feel better,
that
Mike?
That does. Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
And now,
what part of your show is a sports part, by the way?
What? Come again, Mayor?
What part of your show is a sports part?
The sports. Oh, we're talking about the sports now. That's why we're calling you in Steelertown.
I'll tell you who's one hot babe. I seen her on the telecast yesterday. Chandler Taglebu. Oh, they call her Chan. Yeah.
Oh,
commissioner.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Did you see Hank Williams in the Steeler crowd with his Steeler hat on and everything, waving a terrible towel?
Oh, for retarded country singer.
Oh, there's nothing quite like him. He makes the rounds, doesn't he? He sings that there song on Monday Night Football, Mr. Mayor.
That's right.
So how about that fat coach for the Seattle Seahawks? Like, his breasts are gigantic, right?
Too many brats for that guy, Mr. Mayor.
What do you think he's eating out there in the Southwest?
So when are you running for re-election then?
2 more years.
Oh, you got you're in the middle of your term.
Yes, I am.
You know who I heard was the big stinker at the Super Bowl was Chris Berman from ESPN.
Oh, yeah, big time.
All for he would have some brats, and then he would have a couple of brews, and then the next thing you know, he's playing the pull my finger game.
Two tight shirts on Chris Berman. What do you think about that, Mr. Mayor?
I'm sorry, I was listening. What was the question?
Well, why don't we play a little game? We call it Guess the Neck Size, then. What do you think Chris Berman's neck size is?
Oh, neck size, I'm going to say he's probably about an 18.
Okay, what about John Madden there?
He's about a 22.
22 neck.
Here's my motto. Cheap beer makes a windy butt.
What do you think that owner of the Seattle Seahawks neck size is? I give him about a 13.
I was going to say about a 12. He looks like he has a scrawny neck.
And I think the owner of the Roonies, the older guy, like about a 6.
like his head's kind of balancing on a toothpick.
Like,
I was out there for a while. They had the shocking to bring him to life to watch, you know, see the end of the game.
All for Beetlejuice. Remember the end of Beetlejuice.
Hey, Mr. Mayor made a paddles joke, you know, that they'd have to shock the owner. That's pretty funny there, Mr. Mayor. I like that.
Every once in a while.
So what was, like, your favorite commercial then?
I think the commercial was the guy who was talking about the theft with his cell phone.
Oh, that's for good.
He told him to reach for his wallet and he hit him in the head with a cell phone.
Yeah, that's real violent. I like the violent ones.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Did you like
I think the lamest one had to be the one that for the Hummer commercial.
So, yeah, Mr. Mayor, how big is deer season up there in Steeler, Pennsylvania?
How
big is it? Is it popular?
Yes, it is. Very popular.
Yeah, you get the hunters that are shooting each other out there by accident?
In fact, we have two hunts.
Oh, you got two hunts?
Yes, we have two hunts.
Do you know my friend Mike?
Your friend Mike, who's that?
He's a hunter.
Does he wear the orange hat?
So do you own a...
I'm sure
do you own a pistol then?
Do you own a pistol then?
Do I have a pistol? No, I'm not allowed to.
Do you have a shotgun?
No, I have a tack dog.
You have a tack dog, so you don't do the deer. Dog. How do you like your venison?
All for Rottweilers.
I don't like it.
Oh, you don't like it. I like
I
it in
like
chili.
It.
What do you think the odds are there that the Steelers repeat in 06?
I think it'll be very good. I think we get a lot of guys coming back.
What's your campaign slogan, Mayor?
What's my slogan?
Yeah.
Neighborhoods first.
Neighborhoods first. That's brilliant.
I like it.
That's I'm going to write that one down. I like that. Neighborhoods first. Wonderful. You don't really
say that was tacky. I can't believe it.
You don't offend many people with that one, then.
No, because they all live in the neighborhoods.
Neighborhoods first. That's the best slogan I've
ever
heard.
It's been nice talking to you, Mayor Westcott.
Hey, you guys are great. I mean, I've enjoyed it.
He's from Washington, Steeler, Pennsylvania.
That's
You've
right.
been listening to the locker room, all things sports, as we celebrate the Steelers.
Neighborhoods first.
This is Ace Bandage.
Jim Short. I got another one for you. Okay. How about this one, Mr. Mayor? Why don't you say, breathe the air.
And remember, keep a boy... In sports.
And keep him out of court.
Out of court.
Don't for Michael Jackson.
Don't do the crystal meth, man.
Okay.
I'm telling you, that's a bad trip.
Okay. So
thanks, guys.
I remember that slogan, neighborhood first. How about this one? Not even.
Neighborhood first.
Mayor Ken Westcott. Let's limit different things.
Hold on a second. Yeah, for talking to Mayor Westcott.
Good sport, that mayor.
Oh, what a good guy he is.
Real good guy. Wish him the best of luck.
When we come back after this break, for talking about who had the smelliest feet at the Super Bowl.
Oh, smelly feet, absolutely.
Bad smelly feet.
Yeah, that's for
I think
sure.
Bill Cowher's wife has the big smelly feet.
I'm going with the Michelle Tafoya.
Oh, are you still on the phone?
I'm still here.
Hold on there.
Hold on, Mr. Mayor.
Hold on there, please.
Mayor.
Find out.
Thanks again so much. Did you have a good time? How do you think it went? They are a blast.
How do you think it went?
I love that question.
Over. He won't shut up.
WJFK is our home station. Call us around re-election time. All right. Good luck with the fire truck.
He's just getting a little litigation information.
In a world where
still
only
laughing.
A radio
was strictly
forbidden,
still laughing.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
All for Buzz.
Me.
He made it up.
All for Steelers. And now goodbye to that bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, goodbye until next year. If they change the name of the town again.
But,
hey, they might do that in the preseason then.
What are your lead stories tonight on News and Comments?
Tonight, the campaign to make the day after the Super Bowl a national holiday. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to get into NASA these days. And AOL says you've got postage due.
Ooh. Oh, me no like that.
I know.
What's that like? Is that your way of like telling us they're going to start charging for email?
I'll fill you in, but yeah.
Okay, all right.
What do you think they were looking at that they made him take his pants off?
Probably his thing.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That's why they call him Big Ben.
Big Ben. Steeler, Pennsylvania. Have a good party, dumbasses.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Your favorite asses, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hold on, time out. Forgot to give you this, Buzz.
Coming up, Handsome Man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
All right, and now, there you go, now you go. Call us asses.
Your favorite asses.
There you go.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And here's Oh, there you are. I was pausing for a second. You turned away from the microphone.
I appreciate that. I thought maybe I was hoping you had a sponsor for me this evening so I could get a beverage while you were saying that.
Buzz is sponsored by Maui Wowie.
Yay! All right.
I don't know. Buzz is sponsored.
I bought the company.
Buzz is sponsored by
Spray On Tees.
King of Hearts.
Bicycle Playing Card Company. Cincinnati, USA.
They're worth more than you think.
Worth 10. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. I went to SuperBowl.com today, SuperBowlMonday.com, where you can join a petition drive to make Super Bowl Monday a national holiday. It makes a certain amount of sense.
What do you think they were looking at that they made him take his pants off?
More workers called in sick today than on any other day of the year. Excuse me. Quoting one researcher, early February is a very popular time. For millions of Americans, the Super Bowl is a party that now begins in the evening, this side of the Mississippi, and American productivity is down sharply the next day, according to many studies. Judging from this website, there's an impressive campaign to make the day after a national holiday.
God damn, I wish.
Those of you just now waking up next to the Doritos know exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, based on the fact that as a society, Americans have fewer national holidays than many other countries,
that's
right?
True. Fewer vacations, less time off. And one of the arguments behind this holiday is that it would be the first athletic holiday on the calendar.
Do they do anything like that in any other places in the world?
Not that I know. I don't know if they do for soccer in Europe.
Let's give it
possible.
Like some dumb tribute to America. I mean, right. You know, make it America Day.
America Day.
Right. We could use the break. It was the first Super Bowl to be aired with a 5-second delay.
I would trade President's Day for it.
Oh, no trading. No, let's keep what we have and add more.
Yeah, I don't think you have to give one up. I think but you're right. You got to come up with something just to, you know.
Right.
You can't have everybody's hungover day.
Right.
You know, that's not going to work. It's got to be something special.
America Day.
Super Bowl Monday.
America
I think
Day.
is what this website would like to call it.
Super Bowl Monday?
Super Bowl Monday.
Now you're going to talk about the censoring of the Stones, right?
I am. This was the first Super Bowl game to be aired with a 5-second delay to avoid provoking the FCC, and the network was glad to have it. Two of the three songs belted out by Mick and the Boys were, in fact, censored. Start Me Up, of course, with its line about what she can make a dead man do.
Here we go.
And and just his mic. They just bleeped his mic and not the rest of the band.
Come on, everyone, and see if you can guess the word, because we can't.
I watched that, and I think anybody that was watching that Stone show, I was watching that very closely.
Uh-huh.
I thought he censored himself. I don't think. It looked to me like he didn't say it.
Let's hear it one more time. You make a grown man cry, and then you make a dead man. Huh. No, I'd have to go back and watch the TiVo.
I think he just didn't say it.
I read today that they used the delay, but you're right. It does sound like he censored himself, and I know they had that talk with him backstage, so I wouldn't be surprised. Either way, he got censored.
See, this is the hypocrisy again of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
The song Start Me Up, they play it in all the stadiums before the beginning of the game.
Right.
I mean, in the song they sing,
mm-hmm.
You make a dead man.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Orgasm. That's what they sing.
Mm-hmm, right.
But it's okay to sing it in the song
uh-huh.
and play it at the stadium with 80,000 people every week.
Yes.
But then you put them on TV. Most people probably would not have even noticed.
No, as they feel they're being watched, especially. There it is.
Yeah.
Especially with the Janet Jackson thing, they just feel they're being watched, so they're being perhaps even more careful than they need to be. Rough Justice was also edited, in which 62-year-old Mick Jagger sings of a male body part that rhymes with rooster. And although the Stones are still amazing, the consensus was they were just phoning it in.
Yeah, hold on. Let me get an update on that, Buzz.
All right.
This is John.
Joe. Is Joe there, Johnny?
Hello?
What did you think? You're the Stones aficionado.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it.
What did you think?
I loved it.
Buzz, what were you just saying?
I read a couple of critics today who said that the Stones were just phoning it in, that they really didn't give it their all. You saw the show live. How do you think the TV performance compared?
It was fine.
Joe, isn't that normal? Fine. That's a normal Stones performance, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they didn't, you know, who's saying they didn't do that? A couple of
music critics that I read this morning said
then they were doing the usual show. They amble out on stage. That's the way the Stones are.
And you got to squeeze that in 3 songs in 10 minutes.
Right.
You know.
I mean, you and I went to the Stones. Did we go to the Stones show to go? Or I went to a Stones show where that's one of the things I like about a Stones show. It starts out and they literally, like, amble out on stage. I've always thought that's kind of cool.
Right.
All right. So, Joe, you 1 to 10, rate it, please.
Oh, I'd say it was an 8. They could have played for an hour and a half as far as I was concerned.
It's Monday.
Joe, did he censor himself or did they kill his mic?
I can't hear you, Rob.
Ah, that's right, my
listen very carefully.
Oh, there you are.
Hi. Did he censor himself or did they kill his mic?
You know, and I knew that lyric was coming up. It seemed like he just stopped singing right there.
That's what I thought.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Joe.
We'll watch the thing.
Stones expert, Joe Ardinger.
That's a wonderful guest spot, Joe.
And actually, when I heard they booked the Stones, I thought they were working on a 30-year delay.
Oh.
Not a 5-second delay.
So the main Stone censored himself.
Yeah.
I liked them. I thought they were great.
As Regis would say.
Right.
Yeah, no, it was definitely better than Britney Spears out there with other people.
Yeah, sure.
People.
Sure. It was like a little mini concert. I dug it.
And more exciting than Paul. Paul did a fine job last year, but he didn't really get the crowd going.
Although, you know, I do really think that because it wasn't Detroit,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there is something to be said for the fact that, as Michael Wilbon wrote today, Smokey Robinson was appearing at a place across the street from the stadium. Right. So it's not like he wasn't available.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Stevie Wonder, who has gotten fat, sang before the show.
A last-minute
ad. Big, fat Aretha Franklin sang the national anthem.
Martha Reeves did the pregame.
And she's looking great as well.
Really good.
You know, though,
she could go to the Oscars with Jamie Foxx as well this year.
The reason I enjoyed the Stones, and I think they ought to do this more with the shows, just let the performers perform.
Right.
Don't crap it up with you know, getting the kids out there and getting the background dancers. I would have liked to see Stevie Wonder just perform.
Yeah,
you know, just do some of his hits instead of having to bring 60 people out in a row. They're all about quantity with the NFL.
You didn't enjoy the choreographed fighting during Living for the City?
No, I didn't. I didn't at all.
It was, in any event, a Super Bowl that in every sense lived up to the lack of hype that preceded it. There wasn't as much advance hype about this year's game or about the commercials.
Oh, and listen, as long as we're on the topic here, and Buzz, I know as always, we're screwed with time. It's just the way it goes. Tom Shales at the Washington Post.
Uh-huh.
Love you. Dude, you're the best. Grow a set. Grow a set. They're called nuts. I know you've got them, Tom. I know you've got them. His whole column today.
Yes.
About when he reviews the broadcast of the Super Bowl.
Right.
Was about how he found the commercials to be exceedingly violent. For instance.
He's not the only one to mention that.
But hold on. Right. Like the FedEx commercial with the caveman.
Yeah, well, when he gets stepped on at the end?
Yes. Tom Shales is upset because, I mean, did you read him today?
No,
when
I didn't.
When you get home tonight, read it. His whole thing is everything was either violence or sex. And there was no, I mean, there was a trailer.
Comical violence.
There was a trailer for a movie that had some violence. But he even wrote, like, you know that Sprint commercial y'all liked?
Yeah, where they throw the phone at the guy?
My favorite.
That's violent, according to Tom Shales.
A little misguided.
And again, he's a friend of the show.
Yes.
He's a talented writer. Yep. God damn, he knows television. But really, Tom, grow a set.
And, you know, it's an old joke. It's a cliche joke. But I still laugh at the lady with the bra strap. Breaking.
Oh, yeah. I love the GoDaddy commercial.
And technically, the way they did it, I thought that was pretty well done.
Do you know that they had to have 14 different commercials that they submitted to the NFL before that one was deemed acceptable?
Right. Unbelievable.
That's the one that the NFL said, well, okay, but, you know, only this time.
Oh, God, it's ridiculous. You know, I mean, really, I think everybody's got to grow up.
But I guess the bottom line point is the goddamn game is in Detroit. The goddamn game is in Motown. I mean, even if you're not going to do the old-timers, Madonna is from Detroit.
Right.
Freaking Eminem. You know,
right.
You know where I draw the line?
Right.
Kid Rock. If they had brought Kid Rock out,
fair enough.
Then I would say, you know what? Give me the Stones. Because Kid Rock can kiss my non-Detroit living ass.
And you know what the NFL's response to that, which made me mad, was, well, this is an event that transcends a city.
Yeah.
course. Yeah. We're much bigger than that.
Yeah,
of course.
BS. Well, what about when they went down to Miami and they loaded it up with Latin and Hispanic performers?
Don't mince facts with me, son. We're the NFL.
Right.
See. That would be like, you know, if they really have, that would be, welcome to Super Bowl 27 in Miami. Now, please join us for Men at Work.
Right. It wouldn't be right.
With Vegemite sandwiches.
And then they could talk to their son and their Prius.
The Prius.
Don't spank it at the library. That's our story when we come back.
Wow.
What, are you reading my diary?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, I am. That.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
More than six, but less than 12. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, listen, our TiVos were not working. We didn't know about this on Saturday night. Hey, guys.
Love is like...
Over the line, guys.
Over the line, guys.
The special on CBS was the Super Bowl's greatest commercials.
Right. Oh.
Hosted by the beautiful Jim Nantz.
Well, a lovely lady and a lovely show.
If anybody out there listening, anybody's got a copy of that, we'll let you run naked through the prize closet. We'd love a copy of that tape to goof on Nancy. So just email us at DonnaMikeWebsite.com,
right,
where you can also email us about the grannies.
Yes, the granny competition.
For Wednesday, not to be confused with the Grammys. Once again, here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. Finally, a young Arizona State University student was arrested last night at the school's library. Librarians and campus police say they found the 18-year-old
Buzz,
sitting...
Buzz, I hate to correct. It's library. Thank you.
Yeah, library.
Library. Thank you. Don't make me call an ambulance for you.
Librarians and the campus police say they found the 18-year-old sitting with his pants and underwear down to his knees. They say he was pleasuring himself while watching internet pornography there in the library.
This is Robert the Mailman.
Wow.
They asked the young man why he'd chosen the library to do this.
Mike O'Mara, you're grounded.
His answer? Quote, the internet connection in my dorm room is not good enough.
Pretty good.
I'm Buzz Great. Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
That's it. We got to go, everybody.
Very good.
Hey, don't forget, besides the website, go to iTunes, and you can download the show every day on the podcast.
It's very popular.
And we got a segment on our website as well, and you can figure out how to download that onto your iPod, too.
Rob tells me we're number 2 on the iPods now to download.
Number 2 on the iPods?
Cool. Number 2 on your iPod.
That goddamn Al Frank. Isn't it really true it's Al Franken that's like number 1?
No, I think it's the guy who bolted the satellite.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay.
Really, Robin? Really? Really?
Hey,
Artie.
Yeah, I wish my dad was around to see this.
How's your dad?
Hey, I wish
Screw Rolling Stone magazine. Yeah, Robin. Yeah. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you.
Good day to you, sir.
Okay, and
way over the line, guys.
Guys.
Great spot.
So we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.